That's been my life for the past week.
Whoa.
You sounded way finer than that up until you just like choreographed that.
Yeah,
that,
you did a fabulous 5 seconds of silence leading up to it.
Someone's blading.
Someone's working on their tight five for the comedy store.
That one was somewhat bladed, but you may notice that it was very easy to come off, which is not the greatest when you're
you did get the
unwell.
Little you got the flum flaps,
dude.
But
dude,
Nintendo's
conference made me so sick.
You were done before that.
Yeah, I was getting sick the night, like around Sony's conference. I remember I was like getting a little sick. Dude, I've been like.
No one cares. Liam, how are you doing? Are you okay?
I'm fine. I'm totally recovered.
I
no
heard,
problems.
And I was like, oh no.
You guys are cunts.
To be fair, that's pretty
good. That's
funny.
Pretty good, though.
No, everything's good. As my girlfriend reminded me, I could still play a fabulous Bastion.
What did you do?
Great. Still got to play awesome.
What did you do,
I had
man?
I had a great barbecue with my girlfriend
on the
balcony.
You took a Twitter photo of it. It was
romantic. I have a little charcoal barbecue.
I thought you were literally going nuts, like someone had taken over your Twitter
feed
or something.
No. I had a nice charcoal barbecue with my girlfriend, and late in the evening, I looked at it and I said, do I have to put this out? Because there's barely any coals going. It was pretty much gone. And
the answer is always
yes. Well, I held my hand over. Well, it wasn't a fire.
Yeah.
Anyway, but I held my hand over it, and I was like, it's still warm enough. Yeah, I'll put it out. And so I move it. I put it out. And then I'm like, I wonder how hot the balcony got.
Shut up.
And it's a wood balcony, right? So I put my hand above the ground, and I can't feel any heat because I guess wood doesn't put off heat very well. And then
it absorbs it.
And then I touched it, and I didn't think for a second this would be a problem because it was just like. But it was the hottest thing I've ever touched.
Yeah. Until I made you touch me in the elevator.
Yeah, exactly. And like, I don't even feel dumb because like
that
why?
That's, it's like what you said. That's not as dumb as you. Made
yeah, like
it
I didn't
to
touch an element on a.
The only part of that could be dumb. Is the thought process of the question? The core question you want to answer here is how hot did this get?
Well, because I wanted to buy a thing to go under it if the balcony was getting
too
hot.
Right.
Yeah.
But if the thought process is how hot did this get, you have to have the upper limit be in the too hot.
Yeah,
rage.
No, for sure. But when I couldn't feel anything, hot. Just putting my hand over it,
yeah, it's not
like,
radiating heat at
let
all.
Let me just
that
touch it for a sec,
see,
real quick,
people,
and I couldn't believe how hot
burned,
it was.
When people get burned in a comedic way, I always think of POW and Samurai Showdown. They look like that.
Yeah, they turn red.
And Liam just turns a little red and he gets angry for
it. No, I touched it and I pulled it off and I immediately looked at my hand and said, that was a mistake. And I walked around the house and I was like, ow. Oh, man. Oh,
water.
This hurts. Yeah. Oh, this, and it got worse and it got
cold
worse.
Cold water.
No. Not cold water.
See, fire
apparently,
and
it makes your hand blister super
bad.
Yeah,
I've heard that too.
Yeah.
Fire and heat.
Use cold water for like if you get like a really minor thing.
Oh.
But you have to remember it's a patient element.
Yeah,
oh,
so I dip my hand in a vat of polysporin. And I'm like, oh, now it stings even worse. Oh, is this right?
That means it's working.
And I look it up on WebMD, and WebMD's like, that's fine. And then I see, like, that's prevention, fine. And I'm like, what does it say on prevention? And WebMD's like, don't touch hot objects. I'm like, yeah, okay, that's a good way to prevent burns. And I'm like, oh, God, this hurts so much.
I'm not seeing any
And then I decided,
skin.
You know what? I should tweet all this. Yeah. So.
There you go.
Yeah.
I'm not
yeah.
seeing any seared skin, so
it's a word.
My fingertips are a little pink still,
okay.
And like I can still really feel it across my hand. But it's
first
it
degree burn
anymore.
Is 1,000,000% healable, no problem.
Yeah,
so.
Yeah. Even second degree burns, according to what I read, are
you can get
like,
a second degree burn from a sunburn in some situations.
Wow,
that's,
really?
Yeah, you have to like fall asleep outside.
Okay,
we can confirm you are not the mother of dragons.
No,
confirmed.
Yeah,
no, definitely confirmed. Not.
I was suspicious.
And what a bummer!
There's a possibility that this motherfucker might have been a Targaryen, but now we know.
Yeah, just didn't happen.
I
not
know.
Enough incest.
It's kind of a bummer to find that out. Like when you don't get your letter to Hogwarts when you're young.
Yeah,
you know?
It's like that.
Same kind of thing.
Hey, you're not a crazy like platinum blonde asshole that goes crazy and
yeah,
like, loves
exactly.
dragons. Anyway,
we will literally light ourselves on fire for your amusement.
For your
for
Twitter
your
entertainment.
Yeah. Random question, guys. How many friends are on your friends list?
Of
which
what?
Friends?
Which friends?
Sorry, your Facebook friends list.
I trim mine regularly of people that I don't give a fuck about.
Okay.
And they don't like that.
Now,
but fuck them.
Well, of course.
The only reason I even use Facebook is to communicate with you three.
I'm gonna. Okay. I can check so, right now. So give me
Liam,
a second.
Liam, how many people? Would...
I have like 50.
Wouldn't you know it? 150.
Wow. I have 52.
No, not really. That's bullshit.
I have 52, and honestly. I could probably get that down to 40 by the end of this podcast.
Okay. Well, apparently, according to an anthropologist named Robin Dunbar,
Yeah, I've read up. This before. Yeah.
150 is the actual limit to the number of meaningful relationships.
Yeah,
relationships you can but have.
You will
people.
Never
like
actually.
A human can't have more than that. It's not meaningful.
You can,
after
it's
that
not going to be like chances are.
You can have 151. Right,
yeah.
But on average, throughout your life at any given time, there's a maximum of 150 people that you will know and care about,
have any sort of meaningful.
Yeah, we're not talking like rando acquaintance, like that guy you met at the game store and you added him on Facebook and like he texts you every 3 months when a Call of Duty game comes out. Mm-hmm. Not that guy. That guy doesn't count.
Where is this going, Wooly?
Yeah, I don't know.
I don't know. Where
welcome
this is
to episode 150 of the podcast.
Is that esoteric though? Because I knew that pretty readily, and I'm sure a bunch of other
people. You kind of studied
for
that.
For people who don't speak English, I'm sure it's an esoteric fact.
That's true. Thanks to all the non-English speakers of this listeners of this podcast.
Thank you.
It was your field.
Yeah. Gracias.
Now my field is being a loser on the internet. Woo!
150 seems high to me.
Yeah, it does.
It is quite high, but nowhere near as high as like the big dogs. Like Rogan, and
here's
skirting
the thing.
Up on
if
300,
me and
Willie
post something on Facebook,
dude.
And it's the exact same thing, I'll see like 14 people like this. Willie's, it says 5,000 people like this, because you have like 700
I know someone who has thousands.
No, there's the thing is, because people can just click and follow your posts, like Twitter.
Yeah.
So I have
that
on.
I didn't know that.
No, but I do know somebody who has thousands of friends on Facebook.
Yeah.
How does it feel, Liam?
And you go, why do you have...
It's better now.
And you go through their list, and you point at someone, and you go, who is that?
Who's that?
Yeah. And they go, I don't know.
Yeah.
It's like, then why are they friends with you on Facebook? Because connections, man. Man,
yeah, so I
gotta get those connects.
Well, I remember when like
it's funny because super gross.
Well, no, there's a thing where
for the drugs.
Like I remember when Gutex had a point where like he had like 1,500 or so friends.
Man, Gutex is so popular.
But the thing is because when fan pages didn't really exist yet,
yeah, that's
so
what
it was just
did.
Like if you're like my Facebook page is my fan page, but I'm not really using it like a Facebook page, you know. So there's no in between.
Gutex,
and then when they
halfway on his way to becoming the next Tequila,
and then there's a point when you hit a certain number where they go
Tequila Tequila.
They hit a certain number where they go like, hey, are you like a person that's kind of popular and need a fan page because you have a lot of friends, way more than normal.
The
people.
The system is groaning under your weight.
We can switch that over for you, and then it does it and handles.
That's
it,
how it used to
basically.
Be. Now you can make a fan page for you that no one will follow.
And no, I don't think he's Tequila Tequila because I'm pretty sure he thinks the world is round.
Okay. Wow, I didn't know that one.
Yeah. Yeah.
Woo!
Hey.
That's flat earthers, aren't they a fun group?
That's fucked up.
There you go.
I don't know. I respect them in a weird way.
But
there's a stick-to-itiveness.
There's something to believing in something so stupid for so long that you just have to respect it a little bit.
But if the earth is flat, how come we're not constantly dumping Australian snakes into space?
Well, no, they're on the top.
They're on the top?
Yeah.
On the top.
They believe that the edge of the flat Earth is the Antarctic.
Okay.
And that the Arctic is the center.
Okay. Well, what about all those photos from space?
Yeah, those are Photoshop.
Those are doctored.
We did a video the other week where we're playing a video game and we're in space, and I calmly went, if there's no air or wind in space, how come the American flag was flapping in the wind? And then Wooly and Liam for 15 seconds said nothing, and then we just moved on.
You know, there's that camera that was hooked up to a helium balloon that was accidentally released by a bunch of students that saw the curvature of the Earth, but that was fake.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Well, hey. Chemtrails.
Yeah. Kids are smart. They can fake stuff, too.
The best part is the resurgence of this whole thing in a world where you have Twitter on your phone to tweet out.
Hey, Wooly,
your beliefs.
Does Twitter use a thing in the orbit called a satellite?
It might
need
some satellite
technology.
Satellites are pretty damning evidence.
Just because the Earth is flat doesn't mean satellites can't orbit them.
Well, I mean, like... The
core is just under the flat.
Okay.
But the other tenet, though, is that they don't think gravity works the way it does since there's no rotation.
Yeah, of course.
Remember a few weeks ago we're talking about...
You just throw it up and it floats.
Now, to be fair, gravity is fucking stupid and makes no sense.
Yeah. It breaks under its own.
We're talking about gods of Egypt, and in gods of Egypt, they're like, yeah, fuck you.
Yeah.
The world's flat.
And you look at the visual, and I'm like, that makes way more sense, really. I was looking at it, I'm like, come on.
What are you doing,
I can't argue
God.
With that.
I really can't. That visual representation's pretty strong.
The flat earth speaks of a person who can't understand a universe past their eyesight.
Yeah.
Like, past the next hill over.
Mm-hmm. But usually, you know when you're on a road and there's, like, nothing at the end of the road and I'm like, we're gonna fall.
This is it, guys.
This is it. We found it. And then you go over, you're like, oh.
Oh, yeah.
That wasn't so bad.
Always disappointing.
Now I'm just getting the piss bumps.
Mm.
Yeah, if you look really hard, you can find the conspiracy videos that are like they're not just.
I don't
not just,
think you have to look.
They're
really
not.
Hard.
No, no, no. But you can find the ones that are like smarmy about it.
Yeah,
they're like, this guy went to this place and he did the calculations and oops, what's this? No curvature.
Accidentally proven.
Uh oh. Right. It's like
all roundies.
Being,
like fucking.
You're
fuck
being,
off.
You're being smug.
Roundies
about it,
and what? Know? What's the other? You say flatliners?
No, I just said roundies.
No, no. What's what was someone said another term for people that
flat earthers?
Flat earthers.
That's,
sure.
I just said that because
like
it was
flat.
Just
I like flatliners.
Flatliners.
Well, flatliners. Hold is on a that's, second. That, well, that's a different term for.
Hold on a second.
No, I know. But
okay.
That's the one I'm going
okay.
with.
That's
wait
a quantum
second.
Physics
wait a
thing.
Second. Wait
that's
a second.
That's also
wait
a movie with Michelle. Not Michelle.
When you
Julia
when people used to believe the Earth was flat. The explanation for how you could continue to believe that is because there were impassable barriers on all sides. Either the ocean was impassable or there was some fucking mountain range you couldn't get past, right?
There was
whatever.
No way you could define what was on
now the
other
Now that
side,
we have
really.
These things called aeroplanes.
What? No.
Wouldn't an aeroplane have flown off the side of the Earth by now?
I don't, you know, airplanes, man, they lose them all the time. It's like,
yeah,
it's,
that's true.
You know,
I mean, Rocky used to live up at the fucking Arctic Circle. Didn't,
then,
could,
he then.
Couldn't he then potentially just walk across into
we don't
the abyss?
No, because that's
we don't
north.
Still fully understand how planes work.
Oh, okay.
Pilots are
that's
sworn
north.
In.
That's true.
To a
north
yeah.
and south,
group.
That's not a direction.
They yeah, okay. make you not tell anyone, mm-hmm. even your family, about what you see when you get up there in the pilot's
cockpit. Oh, yeah. If people realized the Earth was flat on a massive scale, we'd have
they would all
a
stop.
Problem.
They would all stop buying there's those only, globes, that's for sure.
Well, yeah, really, globe sales would dive, that's there, for sure.
There's only two directions, left and right, and,
yeah.
and west, left,
and not,
is barely a direction.
What about up?
Yeah.
No, up's not a thing.
Up's not a thing?
Up's no. just a construct of your mind.
Okay, so the Z-axis
it's
is
it's a construct
bullshit.
Of society, dude. Like,
okay, Z-axis is fake.
Don't believe
yeah.
what the machine
we
tells
live
you.
In, we live in fucking Sagan's flatland.
Uh-huh,
okay,
pretty much,
yeah,
exactly.
Okay, all right, yeah.
I swear, when you look, if you watch Gods of Egypt, you'll come over to the right side.
Oh, yeah.
And be yeah, like, that, yeah, okay.
That'll sell you. Fuck that'll Neil deGrasse you. Tyson.
Yeah,
I want
yeah.
Gods of Egypt.
He didn't have fucking armor and wings.
I think he actually
he
did at one part.
And he wasn't 12 feet tall.
No, he definitely was at
he
one
wasn't.
Part.
How can he truly say the Earth is round if he's never been to the edge yet?
If he can't be a mummy alive, then he's no good.
He hasn't even gone. How could
all
he know?
We know is that he busted a nut in space,
and
she
still
kept,
sucking.
She kept sucking.
Yeah.
Oh, all right. Who
that,
had a week?
That was a nice tone setter.
Who had a week?
That's the podcast.
I had the shortest week, despite it being 2 weeks, because most of that was sick, and
did,
I didn't do
did
anything
you,
interesting.
You,
sure, it felt
did you
the longest.
Flop out of bed.
I flopped out of bed briefly at times, but nothing big. Before that, the week before. I saw that World of Warcraft movie.
Oh, yeah, you wanted
to. Did you guys see that?
You mean the Warcraft movie.
No, you fuck yourself. Okay.
When invited, I chose not to go.
Okay. Yeah, no, when invited to the same showing that I went to, you all chose not to go, with Wooly adding a fuck you, Levi, to the to the invite.
Now, that's you correct. Said Warcraft, but like, give it the respect it deserves. You meant to say the most successful video game movie of all time. All
right, so.
All right, well, I'll knock that off the docket.
So, okay, here's.
There you go. That's all you need to say.
I remember this movie used to be called World of Warcraft, and then it got turned into Warcraft. Yeah. And I remember every time I called the World of Warcraft movie, there's always a bunch of fucking Blizzard Turbo nerds in the comments going, it's the Warcraft movie, idiot. It's not about World of Warcraft. Like, shut up. They retcon everything in this movie to be consistent with World of Warcraft to a degree that is so baffling. And so. I know what happens in Warcraft 1. There's a bunch of cool stuff that happens in Warcraft 1. None of that stuff happens in this fucking movie.
It's a pretty basic script to follow, isn't
Here's
it?
A fucking spoiler for the end of the movie, because who gives a fuck, and fuck you if you care. The end of the movie is the humans winning and going for the Alliance.
So the next movie has to immediately start with them losing.
Because they fucking lose! Warcraft 1.
That's why Warcraft 2, isn't that kind of why Warcraft 2 is called Tides of Darkness?
Yeah,
because
the Horde's winning and they're on a fucking victory
lap.
That's
because the Horde rules. Dude, Alliance drools.
The acting is pretty bad. The CG, good. The CG on the orcs is good. Astounding.
Okay.
So whenever like and the acting on the orcs is way way better than the acting on the humans.
That's kind of sad.
And me and my girlfriend and Levi were walking out. We couldn't like how come the acting the main orc Durotan and the main villain orc Gul'dan, who are characters in Warcraft, blah blah blah, they are so much better acted than every single one of the human characters.
And yet they write them to lose?
Who all look like weird baby cosplayers. They like, you
do.
Know that look?
They
you,
do look like
you
cosplayers.
You know that look that you see in the trailers and some of the screens? Yeah. You're like, that can't... No, it's totally like that in the movie. It looks so fake.
Do you know why that
so
is?
Bad.
It doesn't look authentic.
It's because the humans were, like, wearing nothing and, like, in a big green screen.
Yeah.
Whereas the orcs or whoever that was, a CG guy, was, like, also in a green screen or, like, a motion capture studio doing the facial, like, you know, points and stuff. But an animator can really pump up the thing because the animator can just do whatever versus a human that has nothing to react to.
Well, the other...
Like, they can fudge a performance almost.
Where the weirdness with the look of it, I tried to figure it out for a while, and then I was talking to people who played WoW a lot longer than I did, and I got it. And they sent me a CG trailer like the Legion one. And it's like, in the Warcraft art style, humans are fucking huge.
Yeah.
They're all massive and quite super large. Burly and almost as big as the orcs. So that armor style with the big shoulders and the shiny thing, it kind of makes sense. But when you put that on humans that are now like one-third the size of the orcs, it looks fucking dumb. It looks stupid. Uh-huh. And they change a bunch of shit for like fan service reasons that comes off like hacky and shitty.
Like what?
Like Dalaran, the Magic City. Did you play Warcraft 3?
Not for a long time.
Okay,
Warcraft
3? Yeah,
it's my favorite.
You know, you blow up Dalaran and you fuck that Magic City up.
Yeah.
You know how that's on the ground? Well, eventually in World of Warcraft, it flew up in the sky for one of the expansions.
Now,
so in the movie now, it's in the sky because fuck you.
Now, like 10 years
ago. So it's
just
a different canon, totally.
Yeah.
10 years ago, Sam Raimi was making this Warcraft movie.
Yeah, that's right.
And he quit, apparently, because like Blizzard would come in and be like, no, you got to change this.
They have
it
a Warcraft Bible thing.
They have a Warcraft Bible, just like how Bungie had a Halo Bible. And fucking Sam Raimi was like, fuck this. I'm going to make Ride to Hell or whatever the fuck it was called. And Drag to Hell.
They do all sorts of fucking weird, goofy shit with it. Like Gul'dan, the old warlock guy who's an orc who's like 95 years old, but he's super evil. He steals people's life force. Mm-hmm. At one point, he throws his coat off and turns out he's super ripped with giant demon bones sticking out of his back.
What a twist.
And he has a big fucking fist fight with the main protagonist that goes nowhere.
Cool.
It's the fucking shittiest part of the whole movie where Durotan goes, I'm going to show everyone that Gul'dan is a fucking coward. Mm-hmm. So he gets into a fist fight with him, and he wins, and then Gul'dan starts using magic and cheating, and everyone's like, holy crap, Gul'dan's like a coward. Fuck that guy. And the horde starts to turn against him, and then he sucks like 10 guys' life forces out, and they turn into skeletons. He's like, fuck you guys. And they're like, oh, I'm scared of Gul'dan. And then nothing happens, and the hero dies for no reason.
Hey, great. Over here.
It's fucking,
here.
It's so, oh my
Matt's
God.
Matt's got a question.
I have a question.
Yeah, what's your question?
Can you confirm this? Are the Draenei in the movie?
Yes.
That means it's World of Warcraft.
They exist
only in World of Warcraft.
Okay, so they exist in the movie for one reason. Mm-hmm. Because Garona, the half-orc, half-human that stabs Kin Lane in the story. She looks terrible. They retconned it later that she's actually half orc, half Draenei.
No!
So in the beginning, they have to show the Draenei slaves.
The Night Elves only showed up like way after everything else.
They're way later.
Showed up in Warcraft 3.
They're way later. They're two movies away.
Okay. But Draenei being in is bullshit.
It's fucking no. They were there the whole time. They were there the whole time. And they like.
Did Blizzard guys help write this?
Yes. And they're trying to, like, work... Because remember, the last expansion they did and the current one both deal with time travel and retconning the WoW universe.
Mm. Is the writing in recent World of Warcraft any good?
No, it's atrocious. It's gone on to, like, actively ruin the older games.
Because it seems to me like all of Blizzard's modern writing is just
terrible,
abysmal. Like they did
a time travel storyline in which, like, well, what if the orcs didn't go evil? Which is like the core element of that whole franchise.
Yeah,
And then they kept going with it, and it's fucking so baffling.
I don't know. I think Overwatch's writing works within its universe because it's kind of a silly, dumb thing. Yeah. Whereas like Warcraft should be a serious.
Well, no, I don't know.
No.
I saw the main complaint about the movie being it takes itself way too seriously when it's actually really stupid.
Okay, so it both takes itself way too seriously and not seriously enough.
Are there any pandas?
That's the best.
There are no pandas because that's the wrong time and part of the world, so it's nice that they didn't go in there.
But, like a little panda guy to make the kids
happy. Yeah, but what there is Panda Ring. No, but it's like it's really bad. Like, did any of you play WoW at any time as a human being?
Never touched on my life.
Okay,
never even installed
the starter town in that game is called Idle. Sorry, not Idleshire. That's the fucking FF14 endgame. No, it's called Goldshire, right? And it's where 99% of players saw the game in the beginning. So they go to the Stormwind Castle in the beginning of the movie, and they give a big aerial shot that looks just like the game. And you're like, woo.
Mm-hmm.
And they're like, oh, we got to talk to the king. The king's in Goldshire. Why? Because Goldshire is the place from the game that you remember. And then they go to Goldshire and like, look, it's a one-to-one recreation of the first tavern you ever went to. And huge portions of the early story take place there for no reason. Even though it would make way more sense for
But it can't be surprising to anybody though that like if a Warcraft thing is coming out now, it's appealing to the 13 million people.
Yeah, totally.
That played the MMO
but
and
like,
not the people that
also,
played the story
from. But also, it's like you've run into the problems like people like me that didn't realize that WoW had retconned so much stuff.
Mm.
And go in like, what the fuck? That didn't happen. Well, no. And then it's kind of a boring, poopy movie on top of that.
And like the fact that you're saying what if orcs were like not evil and stuff, and it's like
they're evil in this one.
Okay,
even though they did it's alternate.
Because there's so many heroic orc pictures I see.
They got good later.
Well, if you had that story on the docket, like Warcraft made no money.
Well, here's
in North America. It fucking bombed like Final Fantasy Spirits Within. China fucking loves it.
It gives context to the gold farming.
That's the only reason why it's the most successful video game movie.
But
of all
pretty
time.
Much, it's super tanked domestically. But yeah, China made it. It made more in China than anything else historically ever has. I think the one right behind it was Prince of Persia.
I need to get one more complaint out. I need to get one more complaint out because it's a big deal.
Sure.
So in the early bit of the movie, your hero guy, he saves Garona or whatever, they fight like five orcs, right? And then later in the movie, they have a big showdown with a magic guy, and it's like the two hero guys versus the evil guy, right? And later they have a little fight at the dark portal, it's like 1,000 guys, right? Every one of those things was a mission that involved like tens of thousands of extra soldiers.
Ooh.
So it's like, we have to go stop bad guy, and it's the wizard, right? And instead of two massive armies fighting for like a cool battle scene, it's like two heroes doing that plucky thing where they sneak around the magic guy. And they try and trick him, and they're like, oh, I can't hear. You know that fucking stupid scene that's in every goddamn fucking fantasy movie?
Yeah, sure.
I hate it. It's just so stupid.
Yeah.
The acting's bad.
And
the special effects for all the humans look terrible.
The
elves look like psychos.
Is there any quotes from the game, like quotes from units?
Yes.
Oh, yeah, like what?
There is a Zug hidden in there. Mm. There is a Murloc noise. There's a sequence in which a character, honest to God, levels up with the sound effect, but it's hidden inside a different power up sequence.
Were there any bits you liked?
Yeah, Grom Hellscream shows up on screen for a total of about 8 seconds.
Well, Grom is fucking
that's
awesome.
That's pretty short.
He doesn't speak.
He shouldn't,
and it's weird. When Gul'dan is just sitting around being evil and talking to orcs about how evil he is and how much he wants to be evil. That part is really good because he's just a cartoon villain. And when Durotan and the other guy, forget the other orc guy, are just talking about like, man, Gul'dan's really evil. We should really, oh man, this is some tough stuff for the orc peoples. That's cool. But everything with the humans is garbage.
What did China love? What
I don't know. No, China just loves it.
Garona has a romance subplot with all three major male characters.
The idea of the movie.
Yeah, because you don't get that high without like word of mouth and everything else.
No, you get that high. It was like all front loaded in the first weekend.
You want like weird garbage on the human thing? The Meiji guy, they imply that he's romantically into Garona. And that goes nowhere. Mm. And then the warrior guy, him and Garona, like, smang it off. And you're like, what? That, what? No. And then the guy that she actually did it with, Medivh, the magic dude that was played by Michael Bell, he implies that he's her dad. And they have this really close moment. They're like, are they going to fuck? And then he's like, I might be your dad. And you're like,
are we going to fuck anyway?
Yeah, and you're just like, what? What? The fucking what?
That being said, I might never see this movie, but if they greenlight a second one and Night Elves are in it.
They wouldn't be in it. They wouldn't be in the second one. They'd be in the third one.
Whatever. If Night Elves are in it, if my boys, Malfurion and Illidan, are in there and there's a love triangle with Tyrande, yeah. I'm like, I'm so fucking in.
So
a misspelling of Drizzt.
As bad and like as bored as I was during this movie, like I saw it with Levi, who's a crazy Warcraft fan, mm-hmm. right?
He
played WoW for like 6 years. He's in there.
And he was telling me he really didn't like it.
And okay. I am a fan of the old RTS games, and I saw it with my girlfriend, who had never played any of those things, but knew Warcraft tangentially. We were all confused by the plot, all of us. And we were all, like, every single one of us was going, wait, why? And then we all walked out like really sad.
You know that Gods of Egypt has a higher Metacritic.
I bet it's a better fucking movie.
Yeah. So I had a plan, but I didn't stick to it. Yeah. I wanted to go watch what I determined was the Warcraft movie.
Yeah.
Which was the full playthrough of Warcraft Adventures that popped up on YouTube.
Yeah.
Really?
That's 2.5 hours.
Wait, how?
And you can watch
that game is canceled.
And there's content missing, but apparently it's more or less a full LP.
Shut up.
And
that game is canceled. How did that happen?
Yeah, I don't know. Someone should have done
that. That would have been a good plan.
It got canceled, but it was worked on.
I started and I was like, oh man, I want to watch this instead.
Oh, I forgot.
I don't know. I didn't really get far enough.
There's a part that they tell you that Thrall is Moses. She's running away with Thrall, and then she lays him down in the reeds to be carried away. You will be the hope of the orc people.
No, but he is, though.
Character that we decide to not name Thrall in this movie. They name him Gua something or whatever.
What?
And you're like, that's Thrall. That's the most important.
Confusing.
And he floats away like a little Christ baby. And you're like,
but he's green.
He's green and evil.
And it's not easy being green.
No. Even though they establish that all green orcs are evil and the kind of yellow orcs are okay. Like no, he's fine. He's evil.
Wasn't Thrall raised by humans?
Yes. But that's the story of Warcraft Adventures. It's a fucking mess. It's just a mess.
I did see Moon.
Same director.
I do not want to see it.
Why?
Oh. No, but same director, but in chains and handcuffs.
Yes, but like you went from having one actor in a closed set
to infinite fake actors.
Yeah. All right, yeah, I have one last one, and I will end with this because it's the final thing that happens in the movie. The credits start to roll, and you know they do the theme track in the beginning of the credits. That lasts, I don't know, maybe a minute, 30 seconds. Mm. The next track that seems to play for like 8 minutes is the old login music. From the fucking title screen of World of Warcraft. And there's like, I heard an audible groan come from the audience. It's the login music from when I used to play it. And it's just like, it's the most transparent fucking like.
That's really
and it's like, if the movie had been fantastic, I think everyone would have went like, ah.
Especially in the States where you get free copies of all the games.
Oh yeah.
That's really
disappointing because I like that stuff or it was cool back in the day. And, like, I watched another video game movie over the weekend, but I'll get to it later. But, like, I watched this Mortal Kombat with some friends, the movie. And, when the announcer goes, Reptile.
Yeah.
When Reptile appears, it's the coolest part. And everyone should cheer at that part. And or you're like, saying everyone groaned?
Or hearing, like, the crystal theme at the credits of Spirits Within.
Yeah.
It's that kind of feeling.
Well, it's because it's not the theme. It's the login music.
Okay.
It's that, hey, man. Type in your BattleNet password.
Let's get going. Yeah.
So
we have this exclusive mount.
I did. Yeah. Probably.
In the States.
I have one other thing that I did, and it was I played a video game. I played one video game of note that was new. Did you guys know that Mirror's Edge Catalyst came out at some point?
I was aware.
Well, on the podcast that you were not on.
No, it's not. Did you guys play it at all?
I did.
I played about 20 minutes of it.
Okay. I had to buy a second copy because Amazon decided not to send me mine.
Have you called them yet?
That's great. Yeah. That's great. So did you play a lot of it?
I caught back up to where I left off in the demo. Beta.
So about, what, an hour?
Maybe two.
So I played maybe four or five. And
the game's at its best if you don't do the side stuff.
Nah, really?
I think so.
Well, sure, but like even at its best, it's still like not as good as the first one.
I really would have preferred just being able to warp to the next main mission every
time. So one thing
not
is that one
even
thing
close.
Is one thing's definitely clear is that the mission-based gameplay of the first game
was the right decision.
It was the right way to go. The missions in this that I've done three so far, and they've been good. I don't mind those.
Yeah, they've been the best part.
The main missions are undoubtedly.
I enjoy the targeted missions, and yeah, the overworld is not as compelling an idea
as you would think it would be,
as much as it is on paper, and that's a shame because you know it's a fucking parkour game.
But like the targeted missions don't feel like racetracks. They feel like, you know, like dedicated design missions.
I gotta get through more of them, I suppose.
But like a lot of times when you're running your ass off, like there's one way to go in those missions, or at least it seems that way. Whereas in like even the first level of Mirror's Edge, like there were very clearly like three or four different ledges that you could hop on and at each different point.
You know what's really rough is like almost any game released right now. All right. Okay. This is all right. Back to Overwatch.
Yes.
And that's what I felt. I played 20 minutes of Mirror's Edge, and I was like, this seems fine. Back to Overwatch.
Yeah. Yes.
And I've never had this problem before.
I do want to say that the pathing thing seemed way more restricted, but the replays, because, again, since doing it in the beta, when I replayed the first and second missions, I went completely different ways from the 50% point in the mission than I did the first time.
I know they tell you in the tutorial also that like the
runner's vision,
it shows you the easiest path,
not the best,
like
path.
The most survivable one at all times.
Yeah, not the fastest.
That is the right move.
And I totally in the first one especially, like I got out of that building completely differently the first time around than I did the second time, and that made me feel a bit better about it.
So one thing that the game does that actually really infuriates me, and I was like screaming at my television with a hoarse voice, like. They unlock those time trial race missions way too early because they unlock them before you have the abilities you need to complete them at good times.
Yeah.
Because
at the beginning, you can't get three stars.
So there's a problem. There's a problem that we talked about beforehand,
and it's a real problem.
You have to unlock a lot of these abilities to actually compete with
Coil
these things.
Is vital.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. And what you're seeing on the map is not just like the time trials, but the user-generated time trials start popping up as well.
You could turn them off.
But they show up there, and like without you really like investigating the menus, you wouldn't necessarily know. You're like, oh, I'll do this race. Why not? And it's like, oh, I don't have anything.
It's
required.
It's impossible. Like you're hitting it. Like you're doing all the shortcuts properly.
Does it tell
and you're like two full seconds behind.
Not before you start it.
Is there a menu that tells you like you might need these?
No,
no, not no. Because you can still. Get one or two stars, maybe, you know. The bigger problem for me isn't that. It's the grapple hook fucking breaks the game in, like, shitty ways.
In a bunch of spots.
Where when you get later on, all the time trials just come down to not, like,
is there a grapple hook nearby?
It comes down to find the secret grapple point. Oh,
so
now you're doing it in
when I started
not user generated like
the user generated
built in ones.
You mean the intended ones?
Yeah.
Okay.
So there was one right. About a mission and a half two missions before you unlock the grapple hook, you get access to that new area that you go through the fan to get to, Liam.
Yeah.
Okay, so there's the time trial right when you get there. The good time is 42 seconds. The time to beat at number one was 10 seconds. Hmm. And I'm staring at this, and I ran it a dozen times, and I couldn't...
Did the math.
You can't get anywhere close.
I could not beat even like I couldn't even get like fucking 50 seconds. Like I couldn't. So then I typed in the name of the trial online and I looked it up, and like the guy runs, and instead of going up this long staircase with like 10, like what is essentially six stories, he grapples hook all the way to the top and gets the point and gets it in 10 seconds. Mm-hmm. Like, well, fuck, man.
Like it,
this trial has no purpose.
Yeah, like I feel like the upgrade tree is less of a problem than the trials are just fucking. The grapple hook just fucks the trials.
So
like,
I got the
weren't designed, like they're almost designed that you have it, but they're almost impossible without it.
Yeah, the only way to perform them properly is just by pressing the grapple hook button.
So I did get the grapple hook, but besides like the intended places that are like right in front of you, yeah, after you get it immediately, I didn't see any other grapple points yet.
Yeah, when you get further in the game, you'll start seeing it more.
If Pat played like 4 or 5 hours,
mm-hmm, yeah, I played more than that.
And this is kind of a weird complaint because I actually really like the art style in the game, but they with the story as well, they really went like objectively future with it. Like it's,
yeah,
it's not like a really nice fascist city that's painted well, like, and has all this cool industrial art design. Yeah. Like there are like pulsing electricity nodes, mm-hmm, in the fucking floors, and it looks all,
yeah,
pure,
you
cool and rich.
Your
shit.
Hard drive on a surface, and it gets
you're in these multi-trillion-dollar companies. Where, yeah, you're like, why would you build and a company this expensive?
It's a combination of two things. One of which is like you're hauling ass so fast through a lot of these places that the fact that they're over-designed makes them less memorable than the simpler arenas in the first game. Remember when in the first game when the guy gets shot and you have to run away and your sister was there as a cop and it's a green building, yeah, right? So you remember that building pretty well because it's all stark green and white and black, and it's very, very simple. And yeah, you probably remember that whole run.
You coil over the aisle.
Right? There is a very similar equivalent to that building in this game, mm-hmm, where something very similar happens, but it's so overly complex and geometric and glass everywhere and floating offices and all that,
that it's
less visually distinct.
You can't tell the shapes as clearly because there's so many glass offices that you don't know where the walls
are. Right, you know the building I'm talking about, right?
Yeah. It's fairly early. Would you agree
that that is somehow less memorable than the one in the first game?
Yeah, like it's cool, but it's like, eh.
And in that set, mm-hmm, that area that open up,
it feels like it's not special. It's just the standard. You
yeah,
know?
And like you're hauling ass through these techno bad, offices just that you never get to look at. Which ironically now you can just stand and stop and look at, but because it's part of the open world and you just need to get somewhere, you're always hauling. I don't know. It's a weird.
Yeah. What I need to make to fully compare it is I need to play this game's equivalent of the mission in part one where you're running through the subway.
Yeah.
And then you transition over into like the malls.
Yeah.
And like that feeling of going from one environment to another to another to another is really cool. And the whole thing is played out, is planned out like a racetrack.
I'm really shocked that I haven't gotten to that level yet.
Okay.
Like still.
Because there is one thing that I can't say overall so far from like the stuff I did, even the little side missions that you're doing here, this game is way more vertical than it was than the first game was.
A lot more like how do you get up there,
how
climb
do you get up
there,
as opposed to how do you get straight ahead. And I prefer my horizontal mirror's edge to vertical mirror's edge.
I agree.
For sure.
Well, luckily, you'll get a grappling hook that'll negate that mechanic entirely.
Well, we have to wait for like actual confirmations. Like early indications is that this bombed as well. Yeah. Sales-wise.
Focus, armor, and the combat.
The combat is way improved.
Super good.
It's way
the
better.
That's true.
I
the
really
little bit I
fucking
played.
Love it.
Yeah.
I love
pushing
fighting.
People into people is really satisfying.
Running off the walls, using speed instead of like knock takedown moves.
Mm-hmm.
I love it.
I really wish we could have gotten that third person cel shaded one just as a curio. That was like being worked on and just canceled.
And the other thing is that, like, boy, that story is aggressively terrible.
It's fucking awful.
It's fucking bad.
As soon as everyone starts yelling at you on your radio, I tune it out because I don't fucking
care.
Like,
my girlfriend is, like on her phone or whatever, and she's occasionally watching me play, and she's like, why do you keep playing this? This game sucks whenever the cutscenes are happening. And she's super right. The fucking story is garbage.
I just mean the radio chatter when you're I don't care.
The people standing around talking at you just over God, like, yeah, I get it. We're in the future. You call it script. Like, I don't know. It just rubs. You know how Batman Beyond nailed it?
Like,
this doesn't. Okay. And it's in a very annoying
way.
But
is it the flavor or is it the content? Because right now you're just describing the flavor.
The flavor is bad, but also the content is nothing.
Like, come on, Faith.
The story's about as bad as the first one was.
Please,
nobody pretend the first game had a good story.
But I felt like I could ignore the story more in the first one because there was way less
of it. Sure, there was way less
of it. Whereas there's way more cutscenes in this one.
I'm not going to fight that. There is a lot more, yeah.
They really want you to like the story in this one, where in the first one I felt like they didn't care at all. And you could skip them super fast. I don't know, man. Oh, it's so just like, ugh.
Gotta get more time in. Before I fully...
Bad first impression.
Before I fully...
Like, I was really like, oh...
To me, there's
I hate
there's
that it's
ups
a reboot,
and downs.
By the way.
Yeah.
I hate it.
There's ups and downs, and I think that, the fun of the combat flow and entirely fixing that stuff is a really huge plus, in my opinion.
Huge step.
But,
I
still really don't like the unlocking and such.
My takeaway from this is like, boy, they could really nail it with the third game.
Yeah.
More than anything, I wish they'd just issue a patch that would let you play through it with a level selector.
Yeah.
And just jump.
Can you go back and play those levels again?
Levels? Yeah, you can.
Okay, good.
In the pause menu, you can repeat any mission you've done.
There's also a level of like there's an aura around me of just, I'm glad it's not dead.
Yes.
Of course.
That exists. And I'm still a little bit in that bubble right now.
And there's a base level where I just like to run around and jump and climb on stuff.
I appreciate the fact that the hey runner, take my thing to the thing to the person over there missions are like really challenging so far.
Yeah, because you haven't unlocked the grappling.
Because I haven't unlocked
unlocked the thing that just makes it dumb.
I tried to do the fragile mission delivery, the first one that you can have available with none of the upgrades and none of the grappling hook, and I spent like 2 hours trying to beat it and I couldn't.
Okay.
And I know I'm not that fucking bad at Mirror's Edge.
I managed to get that one after a couple tries, but I appreciated that I got it on the last second with no update.
Yeah, I distinctly remember getting like 3 separate missions on the very last second.
Mm-hmm.
And like, but then you get to one where you can't even get close and you're like,
you're
okay,
10 seconds off.
Time for
and
the
you're
grappling
like,
hook.
What the fuck?
excuse me. Yeah, I feel like on the whole, I think it's not quite as good as the first, but not bad either. Just falls firmly in a place of
like the first.
Play the first.
I love the first game. Like I love it. Like I love Dead Space 1.
Yeah, I played it a lot, the first one.
And this one is like a good game, but it's a bad sequel.
It's like one step forward, two steps back kind of thing. Yeah,
what absolutely. I'm wondering too is like, am I gonna spend more time with? Because
Overwatch.
I feel like I could spend more time with this one just based on the way the map is laid out. But at the same time, if you consider like all the time trial specific stuff from the first game.
Oh, that's
like,
what you mean?
Mm. Yeah, where it's just like there's shit that's not even in story that you can spend a fuck ton of time on.
It depends on one thing and one thing only. And then that's – you did the time trial shit to an insane degree in the first one, right? And that's because that had value and it was designed. It was really well put together. The time trial stuff in this game is not nearly as well designed and well put together, and it depends, but there's more of it. So it depends whether or not you find that value there. And if you do, you will spend more time.
Yeah, and I mean also, like, you know, you can just check and see that people are saying, yeah, like 20 hours to get all the achievements. So there's your full content breadth is like 20 hours maybe. So
well, I noticed that there was like a mini atrium on your like third mission, and I was like, we're going there already.
Mm-hmm.
Really?
Yeah.
Huh.
So
that was a surprising twist, but anyway.
Yeah. Anyway. I think they should have kept the guns.
They should add more guns.
More guns.
Yeah.
More guns.
Should have been like Doom.
Would have improved it.
Yeah.
I couldn't disagree more, but
it's a joke.
Okay.
It's a joke.
That's all right. You
I have a very serious worry that a bunch of the people who wanted guns in the game are some of the people that were responsible for the things we liked about the first game that weren't guns.
What?
Who knows? I don't know.
Right? They're like, I'm not working on this no gun game. It's
well, no,
like,
you
but
don't
you're
get
the
to
one
say
who made the race.
Yeah, that seems that seems
you're
a bit extreme.
You get a sign.
I don't know. They're Swedes. They do things weird.
Anyway,
I don't know. To be honest though, like I don't feel like playing it. I don't feel like guns being gone made any difference.
I don't think
like when I'm playing the game, there's never a second where I'm like, this would be worse with a gun in my hands. Be the same. Like,
Just don't use it.
For me, it's just the feeling of combat.
Well, here's the thing, right? And Molly, you would know this because you looked up all that speedrun shit and you did a bunch of it, right? How many rooms do you get locked into in the first Mirror's Edge and you have to fight your way out? You have to KO a bunch of dudes.
Yeah, like
how many?
You can always.
There's one that's absurdly hard, just that rooftop with the helicopter drops the guys down, and you have to do it perfectly on the first try. And if you fail the checkpoint, you have to fight them again.
Yeah,
right. You remember that one?
Yeah.
And I think there might be one more, which is the server room.
You could pretty much always get away,
right?
Though.
In this game, there are a bunch of rooms they lock you in. You're going to fucking fight
well,
a guy.
Well, that was... I had a fun moment there where the first time that happened, I took out the first two and I was like looking for an exit. And then the game didn't continue.
And there's no exit.
I'm like, And then another two guys came in.
Another two guys, yeah.
And I was like, okay, I'll run away from them. And then I was like, I guess I'll take them out.
Yeah.
And then it's like, not yet. You know, and I was like, oh no. Yeah. You know, I did have that moment.
So if you're going to do that, I can see what Liam's saying. It's like, adding a gun.
I just don't think it would be worse... You know, like
the whole point of throwing the gun away in the first one was that it made you go faster because you could ignore everyone.
Yeah.
But now if I'm stuck in there, why not shoot them with their own guns?
And I'm not even saying I want them. Just like I've played like 6 or 7 hours and I never hit a moment where I was like, this would be worse with a gun. Mm. It was always just
I was thinking you know what I'd rather actually play? Like super hot. I'd rather go back and play super hot because I think doing fun, weird things with combat is a little bit more fun, weird things with combat you haven't really seen that much is a bit more interesting than fun, weird things with just traversal. Because there are a lot of good traversal games. Mm. And I think trying to expand and make combat more interesting in like a time, you know, whatever context that like super hot does it. Like when I was playing Mirror's Edge for a bit, I was like, you know what has a similar, you know, not like, you know, super, super similar art style, super hot. And I actually stopped playing and played super hot for a bit more.
If super hot had like wall running and parkour, I'd totally
be on the
point. But
I hope they release some type of deal.
It fills Mirror's Edge, just running. In Mirror's Edge,
it feels so good. Yeah,
fills a thing that I want in my life.
Well, here's the thing, and here's the problem. Like I was playing Mirror's Edge, and I was getting bored, and I was like, "Man, you, I'd rather do play Genji and Overwatch right now."
Okay, so that's the thing. That's the thing is to me, like even like not great Mirror's Edge, is still so much more fun than a lot of other things I could be doing right now.
That's fine.
And I totally accept that that's a personal woolyism.
I actually took Genji for the first time like this past week, and like I was just like, oh yeah, he can run up the walls. That's cool. Mm-hmm.
So fast.
Hey, so you watched a CG movie with tons of weird monsters?
Yeah.
So did I. Watched Zootopia.
Was that? Hold on a second. You're done?
I'm done.
Okay.
I figured.
I'm sweating right now. I'm sick.
Hey, bro.
Yeah.
I watched Zootopia too.
Yo!
So took you a minute.
I'm glad
you went to see it.
There's
literally last night.
There's two Disney movies, Disney CG movies that I think are, I haven't seen them all, but that are worth any shits. And that's Tangled, fucking love Tangled, and Wreck-It Ralph. Although Wreck-It Ralph has a little, you know, a problem here. The Zootopia is
what happened to Frozen?
Zootopia is probably better than a lot of Pixar's output. Inside Out was pretty good, but I kind of think Zootopia is like a little bit, I liked it a little bit more. I mean, like, you know, a lot of classic Pixar is, you know, better or just as good.
Disney Animation Studios, at first they were trash.
Yeah, at first they were fucking trash.
Then they came into their own, and now they can do it.
But it's fucking Zootopia just, like, does not throw its fucking message over your head, just subtly, just makes you go, yeah.
It's not subtle.
It's not subtle.
I didn't know, dude.
But it's
the whole movie is like, yo, racism,
yeah,
bro.
Like,
but
over the...
Yo! But I didn't feel... I didn't feel beat over the head with
because,
it.
Because,
because of the cute little animal.
It is for kids. Rabbits can be whatever they want. It doesn't matter the shade of their fur or the height of their, like, bodies.
When it was done and the credits were rolling.
No, but they're fast and smart.
When the credits were rolling, my girlfriend was like, oh, I feel like this is one of those movies where you'll come back to it when you see it as a kid. You come back as an adult and go, oh, that's what it was about. I was like, no. As a kid, you're like, yeah, no, I get it.
Well, yeah,
you completely understand.
Your girlfriend's white. So you would get it as a kid.
Man, I don't know. But I mean, I'm like, this message is really, really clear right away.
I didn't know,
I didn't know
about racism until I was 25.
And like the whole thing to me that I found the most entertaining part about it was like, all right, well, here, some mild Zootopia spoilers if you haven't seen it. The part where it's like, okay, so there totally is this like prejudice attitude that some people have towards
certain
predators,
animals.
You know? And then you kind of you eventually work towards a part where they're like, oh, now that we've figured out that it's the predators and they're totally going crazy, what's the reason for it? And they're like, we don't know. Maybe they're just born that way, right?
Yeah.
But and then like then the movie goes on to have the whole thing where it's like, actually, no, there was an evil mastermind and there was a whole conspiracy that we shut down and yay, everything's happy again. Yeah. But I'm like, the real world stops at that mystery point where it's like, maybe some people are just more like violent and bad and we don't know what to do. That I'm like, that's not a message that you can give the kids. You know, like the real world is just like, we don't know.
No, you get let out of the walls.
Really,
that's what
it's
you do.
Just getting you over the hump of it.
You know,
that's what it's just trying to do. And then after that, real world or not, it's up to everyone else to sort out those problems.
Happy movie comes to its ending.
It's got to be a happy movie.
But sad part where like Rabbit's like, oh man, the world is mean. I don't know what to do. My friends don't like me. It's like, that's where the real world starts.
Yeah.
You know? But it was a great movie.
But yeah,
everybody likes me. Real world's pretty great.
I laughed a lot, and I thought it was like, you know, it looked gorgeous too.
Yeah,
the whole world is thought out really well. I love how it's all zones.
The establishing shots.
The jungle
shots.
Zone.
Yeah,
the fucking...
The like, ride into the city
searing
shows
gas pain
how
zone.
It all... I show it how it works.
Surgery
I
zone.
Think one of the only things I... It was a really minor nitpick, but one of the only things I didn't like was if you look around, there's actually a like rather small variety of animals on display.
Yeah.
They kind of just reuse the same animals all over the place, and it's like, oh, that's the...
Who would you like to
40th
see? 40th
giraffe I've seen
Who would
in the
you
background.
Like to see?
No, just more variety.
No,
all.
But who would you, what's an animal that you're like, oh...
No, nothing in particular.
A koala,
just platypus.
Just every time
peacock.
I was looking, I kept noticing, oh, it's kind of always the same animals.
Was there a koala in the movie?
No.
That would have been a nice chance for like a racist Australian stereotype.
I found it weird.
Echidna would be nice with its disgusting penis.
I found it weird that the sense of scale was super duper accurate in some cases, and then in other cases they just went fucking batshit with it.
Yeah.
And they have the different towns that are like to scale.
They're scaled differently.
Right. But like sometimes they're like super strict, and then sometimes they're like meh.
You tell me like Rabbit Town is really, really small, and like Bear Town is very large.
Rabbit Town is like plague. Like rabbits live traditionally in the countryside.
Yeah,
and you go to the big city to make it big.
Yeah,
but there's like Mouse Town.
Yeah,
so it's tiny little scale side. Like
that sounds
was,
like houses.
It was
yay
fucking
tall, like,
hilarious. I love that part.
And then like the hippos
Idris
and the
Elba.
Rhinos
yeah,
are
huge.
Just like ridiculous by scale. Yeah. They're colossal titans.
Yeah.
Idris Elba in the role he was born to play, which is like
wildebeest,
like head of police.
Yeah. It was good.
What did you think of Peter Mansbridge? As the moose.
Oh, God. It was so like...
Oh, I didn't catch that.
That's Peter Mansbridge,
It's so fucking like someone on the team was like, I'm from Canada. I
CBC
love Peter Mansbridge.
Love.
You get Peter Mansbridge
in. He was just the moose like newscaster.
He was the journalist. Yeah.
He was a journalist.
But, famous Canadian journalist guy.
Yeah. Famous Canadian journalist.
So, yeah. He's Tom Brokaw for you
basically,
folks.
Yeah. Tom Brokaw. Canadian Tom Brokaw.
So, yeah, I really, really enjoyed it. Like, I wish I had actually seen it in theaters just because I haven't had a lot of time to see stuff in theaters and I'm wanting to, so
I rented it on the PlayStation
store. I got it on my Xbox
to try that out exactly, and I tried it out on I tried out the Xbox streaming service already, and this is like test on the PS1, and they're both fucking solid.
Like, never had a
renting movies on consoles, A+.
Yeah.
No longer ridiculous fantasy.
We'll do again.
The other thing that's really like
$6.99 was a bit much, but anyway,
$6.99.
That's a bit much.
I paid $4.99.
Yeah, it's cheaper on Xbox.
That's weird. Then after that, I talked to Liam about this. There's this little game called Anima, Gate of Memories, that was released on everything.
Everything.
And for some reason, I saw it on Steam first, and I was like, I'll play this.
I will play this.
And I bought it.
Yeah.
And for some reason, I was like, you know what? I'd rather play this on my Xbox. It might be good. And I bought it again for some reason. I don't know. Was I in drugs?
Did you come back to this? Because you bought it like 2+ weeks ago.
I never got a chance to talk about it. But like, you start this up, and it has a very solid presentation of the stars. Like, oh, it's the gates of animas and decent voice acting. Anima. And then, whatever. You start it up, and the second you move the character, you're like, oh, no.
It's one of those.
It's just the flattest, most, like, boring Devil May Cry ripoff.
Did you do the little circle spinny thing?
It's she's got the laziest weapon, which is an orb that floats in front of her hand.
Oh, wow. So
you don't have to hold a cool weapon or anything.
When you started to say laziest weapon, my mind started to race. Like, is it a sword? Is it an axe?
It's an orb in front of her hand.
It's an orb in front of her
hand. Soul Calibur 5 girl.
Yeah. But way worse. And you're just whacking dudes that are fucking sponges.
And it says press Y
for a launching attack. And you launch a guy in the air, and I'm like, oh, shit. And then she just makes the orb kind of waft past them, and a guy kind of dies. And then I said, yep, and I just deleted it.
I'm glad you bought that twice.
You
bought it again.
What I did like a lot more is that I never played it, and I think I talked about to Wooly once. In the Game Buzz store, which always like to price things a certain way, a little game called Odin Sphere was always $89.99 forever.
Yep.
And I never, ever, ever, ever played Odin Sphere.
Really?
Ever. Because I had no money at the time.
I remember you having no money.
I remember that too. And I would always go to the store and be like, oh, I heard this game's so good. And one of you had it. I never decided to ask you, can I borrow it?
I was done with my copy.
Yeah. So I bought the new Odin Sphere, Lasht Fyrstefern, Troblodog.
How do you always do that?
Yeah.
You always know how to say it.
It's a word. The only one that bad with is the HTC Vive that I have to force myself to say properly because it's a proper noun.
That and Kellogg's Blueberry Kellabrimbams.
No, but that was
making fun. Yeah.
What?
But I started up Odin Sphere for the first time, and I went through the tutorial, went through the first level, and I'm just fucking shocked. Like, this is just before Muramasa.
Yep.
It's the exact same fucking game with the same lame walk to this character, talk to him, walk to him again, walk to the last one, and then start the mission.
Yeah, the main difference is, of course, your maps. You have your mini globe versus the actual rooms of Muramasa.
And there are some things I like more than Muramasa. I'm like, I like this map better than Muramasa, the way it's displayed. And now, like, I always heard circular maps, and I'm like, what the fuck does that mean? And I'm like, oh, it means nothing, because this is stupid. Why would you even do this, really? I don't even get it from a design standpoint.
It's cool. An artistic choice.
But it doesn't change anything.
It's just basically, instead of putting you in a room and then hitting a wall, they just said, let's not put a wall there.
Yeah, no, I guess, ultimately...
Yeah, like, it's the same as a fucking...
And it makes your flying abilities more useful.
You know what? That's actually true. But in the little time that I was like, I actually like this combat a bit better than... Like, at least the first character, the Valkyrie girl, whatever. I'm like, I like her moveset a lot.
It's generally punchier feeling.
It does.
The combat was not great, and then Muramasa came along. It was a huge step up, and Odin Sphere Lathe Thrasir's combat's been completely redone.
Completely redone
to reflect Muramasa's combat.
All right.
I didn't know about that.
I'm back
That's
in.
Why I was asking you if you wanted to play
because,
it again.
Because, okay.
I'm back
because
in
Wooly,
right now.
Wooly.
Yeah.
My problem wasn't the combat, though. Like, it was clunkier, and like the moment you get off of Gwendolyn... Not if you're playing the new one. But if you played the old one... The moment you got off of Gwendolyn, you'd start to feel it a lot more.
Because really, when you start it up, it's like when you're up in the air, press down and strike, and you do the down strike, and then press up and do the juggle. I'm like, this is exactly like Muramasa.
A lot of the stuff is retained, but they've really redone a lot of it.
I didn't know that they overhauled the combat.
They overhauled a lot of this game.
Mm-hmm.
So
good.
The only part that I'm really like, is just the whole cooking,
fine. Farm your sheep.
Kicking's fine.
I just rather eat a power-up and continue. than sit there and watch shit grow.
Vanillaware clearly has like a real obsession with food,
and eating
and
recipes. Yeah.
Not on,
I liked it in Muramasa, just watching the little like fucking amazingly rendered little pieces of Japanese food getting consumed.
They have the same obsession as Studio Ghibli in
with
like
food.
Food.
Yeah.
Food
yeah,
porn.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Makes sense. Now, do we have confirmation that the final act is fixed?
No idea.
I know everything.
I remember they talked about that and
Ragnarok
said they were going to change
all
it.
All I need to know.
But somebody will tell you on Twitter as a result
know.
Of this conversation.
I haven't played through that far.
I'm going to assume that yes, whatever you're saying.
Because all the improvements you're describing are awesome, like quality of life improvements, I suppose we can call them, that are totally like welcome.
Yeah,
but I didn't even need them.
But like,
I just need Ragnarok fixed.
Not even that. Like, I remember that game stopped me with its difficulty. Like, I got to the dragon boss with the girl that has the whips.
Yeah,
and like I fucking could not beat it, period. And I didn't have the ability to go and make my character significantly stronger at that point.
Yeah, what you had to do there was replay it until you got perfect.
Shut the fuck up.
But that's what, and then whatever state you finished that dragon off in was then going to be the state that you carried over to Ragnarok with whatever items you
like
consumed.
If I had managed that, I would have run into the same fucking problem you would have had, in which my characters are too weak to fucking beat the game.
I'm not sure if you guys saw the tweet from some nobody called Austin Eruption, but he did write
I hate that fucking
I
piece
hate
of
that
shit.
Fucking piece of shit.
What a bastard.
He did write a thing that said, "This I've never seen a version of a game completely invalidate its first version." There's been like, you know, varying degrees of success where like your remake, your HD release.
Yeah, even remake doesn't invalidate the original Resident Evil.
It doesn't invalidate it. It's better. But he's like, there's no burn your PS2 copy.
Well, this is because it's the same but better in every way.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right? It's not changed enough to be a different game. It's just the same but better.
The reason why I answered you that way, Liam, was because like I'm just like, I spent so many hours. And
yeah, I just don't know. I've played both versions for a while, but I've never gotten to Ragnarok at all. Like, I've never gotten nearly that far.
If I do it again and then I hit that point, I'm going to like end up hating George, and I don't want to do that.
But like
I love Jordan.
The thing for me is that I beat Muramasa, both characters. So I love and I know the combat system. And the fact that like, A, I didn't know that it was overhauled to reflect it. But B, I love it so much that I'm like, I'm completely at home. This is the complete moveset.
Did you ever go back to play the Muramasa DLC?
One character I did, and I honestly forget who I tried.
Okay,
I didn't
short,
try
tight
the
story,
guy.
Sir.
Yeah, because they're.
I think I tried the fox girl.
Because they're like stealth, the best game VanillaWare's ever made.
Mm.
I hate the thing about VanillaWare where they're like, yeah, our game's gonna be 20 to 30 hours long.
No, it's not.
You're gonna repeat this content for ages. Every fucking game, Odin Sphere, Dragon's Crown, Muramasa, Kumatenshi, all of their fucking games have this problem.
It's their Achilles heel.
It sucks, and the only one that escaped it was the DLC for Muramasa because it's so fucking short.
Yeah.
And it's a bummer. I'm excited for their new game, but I hope they don't do that again.
I hope the lessons learned, because that was their biggest backlash on Dragon's Crown.
Yeah.
And Dragon's Crown was their biggest release, you know, like
in a while.
So.
No, it was their biggest release.
Aside from
sales-wise, everything-wise.
Aside from stuff I played, I think I was telling one of you, I think you, Wooly, that I read a comic book of the new, or the, you know, about a year old run of Spider-Woman. And I've always disliked Spider-Woman greatly. I always felt like her design in the 70s was fucking super lame. Just red and yellow and just black hair. And I was just like, never really cared about Spider-Woman that much. Like, obviously you all know that I like Spider-Gwen. I like Silk. And I just picked up randomly the new Spider-Woman from, like, you know, about a year ago by a writer called Dennis Hopeless. You know, your last name is Hopeless. That's a name right there. Hopeless. How do you... Anyway, Spider-Woman by Dennis Hopeless, where the entire run is she's pregnant.
Yeah.
And she doesn't say to anybody who the father is. So the entire... This entire trade paperback of Spider-Woman, all new Spider-Woman, is she is pregnant. And how does a superhero deal with that and be on the job? And it's just literally the most fun. Like, I like Spider-Gwen a lot, Radio Spider-Gwen. I actually think this is a better, like, more entertaining thing because it kind of loses its focus on Gwen a little bit. But this is all about her, and it was just so, like, such fun writing, such, like, great little cameos of lots of characters. Like, there's a house party where they're like, hey, you're retiring for maternity leave. So Tony Stark there, Spider-Man's there, and Tony Stark's talking to fucking Captain Marvel. He goes, should I ask Jennifer being Spider-Woman, should I ask her? She used to be an Avenger. And then Captain Marvel goes, yeah, you know, go ask her. Yeah, she really wants people to ask her. And then Tony's talking, and you see him in the background going, hey, like, blah, blah, like, pantomiming. And you see Spider-Man who's standing right there, like Peter Parker, just going, no, 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 no. And you see little, like, lines around his head. And the next panel, you see bigger lines. And you see Spider-Woman going like, nyeh. And then Spider-Woman's like, no, 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 no. And he's got huge Spider-Sense lines around his face. And Tony then walks back to Captain Marvel with a huge black eye. He's like, yeah, thanks. I shouldn't have asked her that. Thanks a lot, asshole. And Captain Marvel's like, ha, ha, ha. And then fucking Spider-Woman comes up and she's like, so what did Tony ask you? He's like, he didn't ask me who the father was. He asked me if I knew who the father was.
Oh!
And then Captain Marvel was like, ah! I told him to say that because I hate his guts. It's just, and then she has a fight in a maternity ward with the Skrulls, and Skrulls are idiots. It's just the most fun and really fun art. I really, really enjoyed it. I'll probably, the next, like, whatever is after that, I'll continue it. But, like, for, like, I don't like Spider-Woman that much. And now I'm like, yeah, Spider-Woman. She's awesome. Anyway, so I read that. I got really sick, like, on Friday night. I was up all night with, like, a tummy ache. So I just went to Netflix. I was like, what haven't I watched? Oh, right. There's a brand new full season of Voltron that Guillermo del Toro produced. I'll watch that.
So things. How is it?
I watched the first episode, which is like fucking an hour long. I was like, is this right? It's an hour long. And
well, Netflix doesn't care about your time limits. It doesn't care.
But holy shit, new Voltron, fucking awesome. It's like, you know, 2D animated. It's like...
it's 2D animated?
It's 2D animated. It's a cartoon.
What?
Only when the Voltron lion units are, they're CG. But the CG was... fine. I was like, yeah, no, that makes sense.
Why did I think it was live action?
It looks like an anime. Like, its character designs are purely very Japanese, but it's written like Korra or Avatar.
Okay.
So it's actually quite funny, and the jokes hit home. And all the characters are just like nerdy kid. He's the green lion. Big tough guy. Like, what's his face? Like, kind of slightly overweight guy from Ronin Warriors.
The jock.
Kento.
Yeah, what about the opinionated alt chick?
She's not in it.
Oh, she's not boy. In it.
All the Voltron pilots are dudes, but the main girl that, like, you know, is like, you have to save the universe, Voltron, is like this. It's just really fun characters. The action was great. Really, really enjoyed it. And, like, I don't even like Voltron all that much. Not that I hate it, but I'm just like, I never caught it.
I could take or leave.
And I fucking hate that CG piece of shit that was from a few years back. That was on, like, Teletoon or whatever.
Yes,
I hated
3D
that piece
Voltron.
Of shit. But, yeah, it was really good. I'll probably try to continue it. And the last kind of thing for my entire week is that, you know, if anyone follows me on Twitter, you saw a little bit of it, but I had a bachelor party to go to for the head of the Pizza Pasta Force, David. And I was part of the
Pastorino gang,
the Pastorinos. I was not the head of everything, so I didn't, like, you know, set everything up, but I did rent out a loft, which is, if any of you guys go to a bachelor party, have your own bachelor party, whatever, I strongly suggest this place. It's called Like a Hotel.
Is that the place that you put up a video of you and Rocky going, yep, like, yeah?
A little bit, but what you didn't see is the fact that, hey, I placed a reservation for Like a Hotel. It's a cool loft for us to hang out, and if we need to sleep there overnight, it's fine, you know. I brought a PS4, set that all up, and, all right, I'm at this address. It's a black door in the side of some bricks, and I'm looking at this door, and I go, what? what do I do now?
Am I going to walk there's into a locked, fucking
it's
kill
a code.
Room?
It's a code.
Oh, wow.
To get in. So I call up the agency, and I'm like, yeah, I'm at this black door of doom. What do I do next? And this nice young lady on the other end goes, all right, yeah. I'll say, what's your name? Confirmation. Okay, cool. Here's the code to get into the door. Once you go upstairs, turn left. Don't look to the right. There'll be shut up. There'll be a screen. Go to the screen. And I'm like, what is this? And me and the real Rocky go up this industrial stairwell when there's nothing around. It's hot. There's no fucking air conditioning. I'm looking around. I'm looking behind my shoulder.
Don't look to your right.
Don't look to your right. And I go and I see like there. It just goes. It's like a little hallway. And at the end, there's boxes of costumes. There's old piping. And that's it. That's all there is. There's no humans anywhere.
Nowhere.
And I'm looking for a screen door or a screen window. And no, she meant like a TV screen. There's a TV screen that says tap to start. And I go, what? And I tap to start and a vid window from fucking Reboot opens up. And this woman I've never seen in my life is like, well, welcome to like a hotel. And I'm like, when are you going to put on the jigsaw mask? What the fuck is this? I didn't know this. When you go on the site, here's a picture of our rooms. Here's the industrial suite. Here's the vintage suite. Like a hotel. 1-800 blah, 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 blah.
That's
blah,
not
blah.
Like a hotel at all.
It's not like a hotel at all. And I go, okay. And she's like, hold up your identification to the camera. And I hold up my identification. She's like, okay, hold up your credit card. And I'm like, okay. And she's like, all right, sign the form. And I go, what? And then a digital form just appears on the screen. It's like, don't smoke, assholes. Don't murder people. Don't fuck up the room. And you just click them at the airport.
Kiosk, yeah.
At a kiosk. And I'm like, okay. And she's like, all right, here's the code. This is like that fucking French maze show.
Yeah.
With the... And she's like, here's the code to get into the door. And I'm like, okay, but there's a lock. And she's like, no, there's a little panel. There's this little gray box. And you punch in a code. And I'm like, nothing happened. And I'm looking at the screen when she's looking at us. And we're like 10 feet away. And she's like, okay, no, there's a thing you slide down. And we're like, what? And we put in the code again. And you pop open the box. You pull out the unit from the window, from the door. And there's a set of keys physically inside. And I'm like, what is this? And I take the keys and I open up and there's another stairwell and then we finally get up to the fucking end game of this boss. And it's the big, if you saw the video,
yeah.
It's a big, huge, awesome loft with a projector already set up with like a super good kitchen, like three bedrooms, like a European air conditioning like the one you have, Pat.
Just like a hotel.
Just like a hotel, except for all of the preamble.
Good job convincing a hooker to go up there with you through all that bullshit.
One did not show up. But
that looks like
that,
the setup to a kill room.
But you know what? For a bachelor party, it was super great. Because yeah. I called the rest of the guys that were all bringing the bachelor up, the guy that's getting married, David. And I'm like, don't tell him anything because it looks like he will get killed at a certain point. He'll be really scared.
Yeah, that's what you
and
need.
He came up the stairs and he's like, hey, guys, what's ho? And
ready for some up. Severe prank / hazing.
And he gets up there and he's like, whoa, shit. And I fucking kid you not, if you saw the little video posted on Twitter, gigantic Godzilla poster in this room. I did not ask.
Mm-hmm.
I did not inquire.
No, they knew.
Just there. So, yeah, we hung out there. Like I alluded to, we watched Mortal Kombat. Everyone fell asleep before the tournament even fucking started.
Wow.
Even you?
Yeah.
Dang.
Yeah,
especially him.
And I told Liam and Wooly about this, but some video games went on. And some guy that was not part of the party but showed up because he's a friend of the bachelor just showed up and he's like, hey man, you got a PS4? Hey, you got Street Fighter V going? I was like, yeah, it's in there. He's like, yo man, I'm just letting you people know I'm pretty good at Street Fighter V. Just all challengers.
So did Wooly show up to this thing?
Wooly did not show up to this thing.
Okay.
And then I'm cooking for everyone. They brought pogos and pizza bagels and all this shit. I'm throwing everything in the oven. I'm like, yeah, okay. And I look up and I see lots of backwards jumping from both sides of the screen
yeah.
at the same time.
Telltale mark of a pro.
So I see all these backwards jumping. I'm like, yeah, yeah, you do your thing, do your thing. Finally get all the food out. And I sat down and some of the pass controllers passed to me. And, like, I'm not great shape. I haven't even played Street Fighter V since Alex initially came out. I played him on the day he came out. And I was like, yep, that's Alex. Not as good as Third Strike, but that's him, I guess. And then I take Alex. I literally perform all of his special moves one after the other. And everyone starts getting super hyped for this. And I go...
good room, I guess.
I do his super art, whatever, and I won Evo.
Yeah.
Everyone goes, oh, he knows the secret moves! Because no one in that room has seen his moves. And it won the match. Like, the hyper bomb went off.
Yeah.
And everyone's like, the secrets! Yeah. And everyone quits right there. Like, nah, man, he's too good. And I was like, yep. It's been a long time.
It's a different world, man.
Since I've played this cash.
Yeah.
Right? And then after a while, everyone goes, now fuck this game. Turn on Mortal Kombat X. And then that never
And that's why Street Fighter will never be as popular as Mortal Kombat.
Because the secret moves are pressing two shoulder buttons together.
You did it.
They did it. So that was fun. Really, really quickly, because I want to get through the rest of this. Mani... axe throwing place.
Yeah, Rage, the same guys that that make Amaze, which is the escape rooms that I've been
because it yeah it's a similar
about.
Feel, but the place is called Mani Axe.
Okay, that is not the same thing.
Okay, then it's not. But Mani Axe, you will get my money. That's your name.
Okay.
And if anyone has a party with a bunch of friends, anyone has a bachelor party or anything, I highly now recommend going into like if you have this in your place, it was just fucking fun. Tournaments, loser brackets, just throwing an axe at a fucking target. It was super fun and super easy. Like you don't.
Yes,
get your,
you would find it easy to throw
I
an
would
axe,
find
wouldn't
it
you?
Easy. But it's harder to get a target because it's not a chasm.
Yeah,
right.
It's not an infinite chasm
it's
ahead
not an
of
infinite
you.
Chasm, but it was super super fun.
It's like darts.
It was like darts, but more manly.
What I'm told.
Yeah,
because you're throwing fucking axes.
Yeah.
So I really enjoyed that. That was really fun. I highly recommend that. And, of course, the final thing of the night was, before watching Mortal Kombat and falling asleep, was going to the strip club, The Kingdom, which I'm not familiar with, but it's not too far from my place. And has a gigantic...
Is it a strip club or is it a strip club?
It is a strip club.
Okay.
It has a gigantic golden lion on the logo. Like, it's a relief, right? It's a gigantic golden lion. We go in there, and as soon as we walk in there... There's an announcement saying, hey, everyone, sorry about the AC system. It's not currently working. It'll be up in a couple of days. So we had... So we had a booth and a complete booth reserved for us. And we're there, and I'm just watching stuff. And I'm like, yeah, yeah, yeah. And then this woman comes by who I can only describe as Bayonetta from Bayonetta 2 with a bust that would make Hitomi J Cup cry.
Yeah. I believe you said Hitomi H Cup.
Yeah.
Yeah. And Hitomi H Cup. And she walks by and I can't do it. I'm not asking anyone for any dances or whatever. I'm just happy to be there. But then the head of the best
the
man, the best man Jay, who's really, really nice. I really liked him. And he goes, oh, man, fuck. Just, like, big boobs, man. I can't. And I go, did you see that girl walking around before? And he goes, and he had made some video game references earlier, so I hope this word was not lost on him. But I went, there's a girl that kind of looked like Bayonetta. And he goes, and he stands up, and he's like, really? Really? I'm like, yeah, she's quite busty. And he goes, oh, okay, yeah. And then the night progresses. David, the bachelor, has fun, whatever. And the girl walks back around, and I go, yeah, that's up. And that's her right there. And he immediately gets up and starts pulling out bills, and he's looking at her, okay, okay. And then he leaves for 35 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
And we all start going, bring back Jay! Bring back Jeremy!
Jay's fucking
he's dead!
He's dead.
He's dead!
She shanked him and took his wallet.
He comes back 45 minutes later, and apparently it's $20 a song. Right?
Okay. So that is $150.
Almost $250 of loot boxes.
Yeah, a lot.
Right?
It's a lot of loot.
So he sits down. Good sprays. And I've never seen a man so defeated and beat up. Oh, that spray's a
duplicate.
Yeah, just sad.
Just kind of sad. And he's like, and he goes, nah, I can't talk anymore. He's like, my face is fucking beat up. And I go, look, I go, what's this girl's name? And I know I've made the joke before. It's a Simpsons thing, but her name was just literally a variation of Busty St. Clair mm-hmm. or Chessie LaRue. Her mm-hmm. name is Amelie St. Amour. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And if you've ever seen it, she regularly cosplays at Montreal Comic Con.
Of course.
As like Maya from Borderlands. As Moxie from Borderlands,
yeah.
Lady Deadpool every year, and big, huge fandom around her. And she was just there, and I'm like, okay, cool. And then we go back to the loft, and I go, hey, Leanna comes to the loft with Melissa, her sister, the one that's getting married to David. And they're like, hey, guys, would you have fun? And I was like, oh, babe, there's this stripper, and I didn't do anything with her at all. It was amazing.
That's the most convincing way to start that.
And I show her her Twitter page, and her Twitter page has more followers than any of us. And I go, look. And she goes, you know, you could have gotten whatever, lap dance, whatever. I wouldn't mind. I'm like, but I can't. All I could do is that when we were walking out of the strip club, she was standing there and I squeaked out some indecipherable noise to her. Where I was like, hey, good job. That's all I said. I was like, you know, when you go to the movie theater and they say, hey, have a good movie, and you go, you too? Yeah. That's what that was. Yeah. So that was that.
You
was
might like, as well just croaked out, I'm the big man.
I have 600,000 subscribers on YouTube.
Man.
Anyway.
Just, I'm still time. Hung up on it, but it's like the AC will be back on in a couple of days.
Why say that
it
part?
It says everything in the world about who's in that strip club.
Yeah. It was
like,
good.
We know you're going to be back here next week. We know you're going to be back here tomorrow.
I know I will. Anyway, I had a really good time. So that was my week in totality.
Cool. William.
Yeah.
Well, how many strip clubs did you go to?
None, of course.
Because of the burns.
I beat you.
Because of the burns.
I beat you.
Again.
Fire one.
Yeah, no, I had a barbecue. It was super good. It was a nice time. I
saw some vegetables on that fucking
that's
barbecue.
That's gross.
Yeah?
Those don't belong
in
this
because
world.
I have a proper diet, Mr. Microwaving Chicken Breasts.
Oh.
No, me too. I'm talking shade about the vegetables in the barbecue too.
I think those vegetables look good,
Liam. Peppers are great when you grill them. They're super, super great.
I just hate peppers all around.
Like oh, that, really?
Like green bell peppers? Yeah. I don't like the taste of them.
Oh, what? Wow.
What are you going to do?
Okay.
Yeah. I played a bunch of SteamWorld Heist still. I'm super stuck on
that. Yeah, you're
game.
Way into that.
Fantastic. I'm playing it again on the hardest difficulty now, and it's... You have to be super careful in that difficulty. It's mm-hmm. really a heist at that point where you get in, do your thing, and
leave.
Just run away from everyone else. Total blast to play. I absolutely still recommend it to anyone who likes tactical RPGs. Like super easy 9/10.
Mm-hmm.
I played a lot of Overwatch because
that's our
game.
Lives.
That's our lives now.
Good ass game.
I don't even mention it anymore.
No,
Overwatch.
Overwatch has turned into the game for almost everyone I know. That's like, I don't know what I want. Yeah. I'm going to play Overwatch.
Well,
the background number two thing in their life at all times.
Well, I'm thinking to myself, I got to edit, and then I'm like, but I got to get my eight hours in today. Yeah. You know, I gotta work.
The man's cracking the whip.
Exactly. Overwatch is cracking the whip. I can't slack off. You know, he wants me to put an extra time on the weekend, so I guess I will. But other than that, not too much. I really just played those two games.
All three.
I have like 30 hours in SteamWorld Heist. I've just been playing that game constantly. So no, just playing video games really. So googling when Berserk's coming out, which it's nice to finally
some
have.
New
see those scans
now.
Today?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, it looks good. Looks good.
No, it looks good. No, I don't know. Not
okay.
much.
Amelie St. Amour had a purse that was just the L block from Tetris.
That's a good block.
So Wooly was looking blasé, and I was like, yeah, she's a stripper, she's super hot. Well, quite well endowed.
You said Bayonetta, quite well endowed,
and like Wooly's eyes were like, yeah. And then I said the L block from Tetris, and Wooly's like, whoa.
Well, she's like a super famous cosplayer.
Yeah, no. When you said Bayonetta, one of my dreads perked up.
One.
But, okay, I guess I'll take it then. For me, the main reason why I didn't spend as much time on Catalyst as I would have liked to was because I was going through and started and finished Kirby Planet Robobot.
Oh, yeah, you're talking about Kirby Planet Robobot.
How much time did you get in on that?
God, what's the count at? I don't know, but I played all the mini games and all the extras, and I'm not doing the replay just yet. I don't know what the total time is.
Okay.
But... probably seven
hours.
Yeah,
that's reasonable. That's Kirby games.
Yeah, probably about seven. I like how they basically, yeah, so this is Triple Deluxe 2, Gurren Lagann Edition, even more this time, because the first one does some things that are like, hey, you guys kind of like Gurren Lagann, don't you?
Mm-hmm.
And then this time around, it's like, no, we fucking love it, bro. You have no idea how much we're into it. And
even like in Epic Yarn or Return to Dreamland, where you get like a big robot or a big dumb vehicle mm-hmm. and you just wreck shit. Mm-hmm. It's like that, right?
You get a nice escalation of events and things. And in this case, like just simply introducing the robot is the type of thing that I adore. Like one of my favorite things ever, like Kirby Superstar is just, to me, is one of the greatest games of all time. But outside of that, my second favorite Kirby game, and not because of like its actual gameplay or rather not because of the reasons that you traditionally would like a Kirby.
Dream Course.
64.
Yeah, I know.
Oh, yeah.
Remember that time we played 64 and he started freaking out and jizzing his pants?
Yeah.
Kirby 64 had the combination ability where you could fuse two powers to create a whole new like chart of
a third power.
Mm-hmm. Third powers, including doubles of the same.
Yeah.
And that to me was just like the thing I love the most, like multiplied even more. I'm going to have a blast with it. So in this case, you introduce the robot, and the robot can absorb all the powers as well.
I was going to say that this one doesn't actually have the double powers. It's just the robot has the powers.
No double powers.
So it has no double powers, but what it has is double the powers.
Exactly. Yeah. Right. And that's exactly it. The moment you introduce more plus some other variant to it or something else like that, I always love that. So in this case, yeah, and the robot versions of a lot of those powers are amazing. Like, do you want your rock fist just punch everything, go nuts robot? Or do you want your blade cutter? Do you want your magic robot that's like casting and holding out orbs and doing psi attacks and things?
Oh, like, just like Gates of Anathema.
Whatever that is, sure.
Yeah.
So it's a really good time. And of course, difficulty, you don't talk about it because it's a Kirby game.
That doesn't matter. So you hold right and you press the buttons.
My copy of Triple Deluxe is still in its shrink wrap. Should I not even bother?
No, Liam asked me that as well. Because you recently picked it up and you're like, should I just skip right to more Robobot? And I was like, no, because you will rob yourself of some of the really good stuff in Triple Deluxe. That being said, The mini games in Triple Deluxe as well are worth doing. There's a whole fighting game mode that's in there that's really fun.
I remember that mode. And then there's
the DDD rhythm game.
They said DDT.
DDD rhythm game. And then once you get through that stuff, you get used to those, and you like playing Robobot. It's like a natural sequel to that. Mm-hmm. You get a more RPG mode in this as an extra, and a 3D mode as well that's there for fun.
Yeah.
But really and truly, like, yeah, just messing around with those powers. Even though the bosses are not that hard, a lot of the challenge does come in from like getting these secret like blocks that are kind of hidden.
Yeah, it's always what it is. Getting 100% in a Kirby game is always
that's the real challenge.
Super time consuming.
Yeah, and like, hey, yo, you want to fight Robot Meta Knight? All right, let's get that going. Right, and of course, as the Kirby games recently have been doing, you escalate, you get to space, shit goes crazy, and then you again full on take.
Ever since the first one, they've been really good at that. But
they always
the first one ends with the shmup sequence.
Yeah,
like,
they always go big.
Yeah,
and in this case, like they literally. Well, I mean, there's I don't want to spoil.
Yeah,
but drills come out. You know what I mean? Like, I don't know how else to say it. So, I really, really love and recommend it. If you are a Kirby fan and you know what those games are about and you enjoy them,
mm-hmm.
absolutely play it. These new
this new slew of Kirby games, like, they can come and continue to just kind of go under the radar. I don't know, but like, I'm happy with it.
What you're experiencing with Kirby is the complete opposite of what me and Liam are experiencing with Paper Mario.
I guess.
It's the 100% polar opposite.
The only other thing I would have wanted would have been a remake of Kirby Superstar. Yeah. Oh, fucking wait. That's how
that
you started.
That already happened, yeah.
That's how you started this gangsta shit.
Yeah.
My God, I'm fucking
incredible. Hey, Liam, did you see the new thing with Kirby? It's sticker, Paper Mario, fuck it.
Yeah, I did. Yeah, I actually like really contemplated like pre-ordering a copy just so I could tweet burning it. I actually really thought about it for a second, and then I was like, no, I don't want to buy it.
So I also got a bunch of use out of amiibos that I had never done anything with.
Yeah,
since they're just toys sitting on my shelves, and now I'm like, oh, I'm gonna take that power. I don't mind if I get my Kirby power on my amiibo to get my Smash ability, which is really good. Furthermore, Meta Nightmare Returns is in this game, and then that's like, you know, play through the stages as him, and you get his full move set, which they've expanded
that's
on.
That's always really fun.
But they've expanded on it again. Like, they did that in Triple Deluxe. They made his move set even more fleshed out, and now it's like you've got the full move set plus like straight up like specials on the screen.
Good.
To tap and
that's,
like
that's sick. That's what it should be.
It's really, really fun. It's a whole other thing and like really, really worth going through as well. So yeah, Kirby's a good ass game, man. Other thing I did this week, Zootopia was there, Mirror's Edge Catalyst. There was a Netflix special that came out that I checked out. There's a comedian named Bo Burnham. I've watched his stuff in the past and I didn't really like it. I remember like getting a recommendation from girlfriend's brother that was like, oh, he's the funniest guy, dude, you got it. I'm like, all right.
Oh, that's always a bad place.
But I'm like, I love
get it.
No,
bro.
But dude, like stand-up comedy, I'm in it.
I know, but like significant others, relative recommendations are nearly always bad.
I don't know what you're
kind of screwed because you're like, yeah, it sucked.
I don't know what your sense of humor
get out
is
my
like,
face.
But let's go in, right? And yeah, I was not at all feeling it. It wasn't my type of thing. And he's a really young, like young stand-up guy doing his thing, kind of musical. This new one, though, is a significant step up.
He's been working on his
tight five, but more than that, on his tight 60.
Yeah, 60.
Really.
His tight 60.
Really different from any
He's
other
really clever, isn't
stand-up
he?
Like, I've seen.
Yeah.
Have you seen Make... It's called Make Happy.
I haven't seen that. I saw some older stuff of his. Not huge into him, but he's really clever. The stuff he's doing is really... interesting.
Yeah. I will say that to me, this one like stands out as like a significant step up from what I've seen before, and totally worth your time. Legitimately funny, and just takes the whole idea of being meta to like another meta level in a weird way.
That seems right up his alley.
And yeah, and like also like just anguish at like being a content creator. It's like it's weird in a way, but it's like, it's not up his own ass while he's delivering it. He's just really like self-conscious of how unimportant what he does is in the grand scheme of things.
That's good. It's good to know that.
Yeah, and it's in a very entertaining way. And I think if you've got an hour to kill and you want to see something very different from usual stand-up,
it's on Netflix.
On Netflix,
cool.
Bo Burnham, Make Happy is worth your time. Just be warned, though. Of course, it's kind of musical as well, so there is like straight up numbers.
But I hate music.
Yeah, well, it's funny music, so.
Like Bowser in Blue?
No, like the Adam Sandler CDs back in the day.
Oh, man.
They're all going to laugh
really
at you.
Really, couldn't you have, like, was there nothing?
No!
Those CDs haven't aged a day.
Everyone loved them. Come on. Piece of shit car. Everyone listened.
It's a piece of shit!
Yeah, and then I guess the last thing I want to throw out a quick shout out to was... Matt, did you watch the Game of Thrones yesterday?
I did.
Okay. Would you say that this episode stands out as one of the strongest this season, the entire series has had?
I literally, upon its completion, I went, that was a really good episode, actually.
It was,
it's always, because we both like her, and it's always like, I guess if you have a lot of knowledge about the general franchise, it's kind of like when you're like, yeah, that was really good, I really like that. It's like really kind of, you know, everyone's entitled to their opinion, but it's really depressing to go on Twitter and see
comic book girl. She's like,
what a piece of shit.
Yeah. She's like,
destroys the franchise. And I'm like, yeah. Oh.
And then there's someone's like, why? And she's like, action was good, but writing was terrible and stuff. And I'm like, I didn't really find so. Honestly, no. Like, upon completion, it was one of those click back, watch that again. It's probably the best episode of the show that's come out.
I think so.
Does it ruin the franchise?
I would not say so. And here's what's up. Like, I can straight up say without spoilers, it's because it's very clear they finally have the budget to do full all-out war scenes.
Okay. Yeah.
Good for them.
They finally have the ability.
I remember even when I watched in season one before taking I stopped fucking waiting shortcuts. For it. It's like the character that you're following just gets knocked out within five seconds of the battle.
Gets knocked out and we what happened?
No, when we were watching this episode, there was a really good battle scene at the start and then was gearing up for another battle scene. That's the name of the episode. The name of this episode was
No. Even that's a kind of a spoiler.
The name of the episode.
I know. It is. But
there is a battle set up for the later half of the episode. And I was like, well, this is clearly going to be a cutaway, we won type thing.
Yeah.
Like, nope.
They fucking stuck with it, right?
Really hard.
And you really do expect that Rome moment of like the soldiers charging in, and then the camera pans up to the sky.
Way worse than Game of Thrones ever was.
And then pans down to like buzzards and dead bodies on the field. And it's like, nah, dude, we're sticking with it. Furthermore, the first part of that story the first part of the episode ended in like 10, 15 minutes. And then the rest of it was just this war. And it was detailed. It was fleshed out. They brought out some tech you didn't think existed in Westeros.
Like guns?
Like phalanx formations.
Yeah, phalanx formations.
That's not a tech.
I was hoping for guns.
I would like just pull
I was
out,
really pulling
just
for
pull
guns.
Out a Glock.
They already have magic fire, so...
I'll
take my Glock over magic fire any day.
Like, if you have any appreciation for the difficulty of filming a medieval battle full scale... Thousands of people going at it.
Mm-hmm. Well, probably hundreds and thousands of CG men.
Well, to be realistic, 600 exactly.
Yeah,
I looked up everything afterwards because this was fucking impressive.
Yeah.
Jeez, look at this nerd. Looking they did up it. Stuff about his TV show.
And they brought in the guy that did their other like two battles as well. Like prior to that, their little test battles where they do a long extended like casino shot, not casino shot, a Goodfellas shot. Where like we're gonna stick with the action for like a solid minute, right?
And solid minute.
And then here you had that happen where it's like we're gonna put a cameraman on the floor next to the soldiers, Private Ryan style.
Yeah.
And just you're on foot watching this shit go down. Turn left, turn right.
Everyone,
shit
make sure
everywhere.
To be fighting when the cameraman looks at you.
Yeah, and like make sure that the exact perfect dynamic moment happens when I look this way. And oh god, it's horrible. What's over there? Oh fuck, you know. And like you get the really in depth, visceral feeling of it all.
I've heard two conflicting things. This was not the last episode. There's one.
It's
more?
Not. There's one more after this.
I heard someone say the finale of Game of Thrones last night was, and I'm like,
no,
what?
No, they're super wrong. There's one more.
No, they mean that the franchise is done.
Yeah there's one more.
Because this is the ninth episode, which is a weird place to stop it.
And like, I'll explain after, but there's a reason why. Like, I don't want to say the name of this episode, but the name of the next one, which is the season finale, is exciting for anybody who's watched anything. It's called
It's called Ned Stark Comes
Ned's Return. Yeah, no, it's called The Winds of Winter. Is literally the name of the next. That's so that's very, exciting.
Yeah,
so we'll see. All right. That show, man. I was really pleased
with the season
overall. Yeah, I was so down on it.
Considering like how I didn't like the last one,
yep.
And I know probably book people are like, this season's like the worst shit I've ever seen.
Well, book people are going to have increasingly large meltdowns as it outpaces the book.
Actually,
books.
No, that's over. The book is now behind.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah. Well, already, they will continue to have bigger meltdowns over time.
No, bigger meltdowns.
The farther the show gets out in front of the book, the more pissed those people are going to be because they were ahead of it for like 15 years.
And now I get that too. That would be frustrating for sure.
Though
I'd be fucking pissed if the Berserk anime fucking outpaced the
George
R. Yeah, like if suddenly the favorite thing went to a fucking drama CD as the format.
Oh,
George R. R. Martin is telling D&D, though, he's telling them what
Did you say D&D?
The directors.
Oh, okay.
The two guys, D and D, or yeah, whatever.
David and Off.
I thought you meant like
Dungeons and Dragons. Yeah.
Yes, he's telling them what the events, what events need to occur.
Well, until he changes them.
Until he changes them or dies.
That's what that's what happened with Full Metal Alchemist, right? She told them what she was going for.
Because she had an ending planned.
And then she was like, nah, fuck that. And that's why you end up with two series.
Yeah.
So I imagine something similar will happen to a degree in Game of Thrones. Like, it's inevitable that things will change along the way.
I don't know what to say besides, like, I just, as long as it's not shite, you know?
It'll be super shite when he dies.
I mean, there's some...
The seventh book completely unwritten.
There's some ridiculous-ass shit that's in the books right now that's not happening in the show where I'm like, if that had to go down... It would have been worse.
Mm-hmm.
So, I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway.
How excited are you for the George R. R. Martin has died with the seventh book unwritten, like, eventuality? All
jokes aside, I'm sure there's, like, a team of family members and backup folks.
Like, I've read that he, like, has broad strokes, like, yeah, in case I die, because I probably will, because, A, look at me.
Yeah.
That he's left, like, manuscripts that are like, here's what I got so far.
There you go.
Page one, that's all I got.
It'll be fine.
Okay, if you say so.
It will.
Ned Stark is all like, fuck this shit, I'm in a robot.
It won't be fine.
Could you imagine, though?
yes, actually, through various contrivances.
Starkinator.
Well, take a long think about everyone in the cast and things that have happened. And, like, it's like, yeah, yeah.
No, but, like...
Robots?
But, like, the start of season 7 and, like, the Stark Voltron just steps down over the wall.
All form
and the whole
head.
Thing just becomes a cartoon show.
Okay, well...
But it wouldn't be a lion, it'd be wolves.
I want that to happen one day with the show so bad, but it will never happen.
Yeah, no, it's too good.
Because ridiculous magics and jokes that we must have made in like the first 30 episodes of the podcast probably have come true.
Yeah, I think so. If you look back on
absurdities are happening.
Yeah,
we got to get into the weeks.
Okay, well, what's happened?
Got to get out of the weeks.
We get out of the weeks by getting into them.
Well, first of all, I think like since Pat was not here last week, you should probably rattle if you have anything to say about the E3 games. You have anything to say about
Sony's conference? Looked great. It's a shame there's rumors that they couldn't show Red Dead Redemption because of the Orlando shootings and the trailer would be too
similar.
Really?
I didn't hear this at all.
Yeah, but people shot them down. Like,
Adam
Boyes shot it down.
Well, that's
hard.
Pretty fucking shot down then.
Yeah.
Sony's was really good. Everybody else's was fine. Like, good to fine. The PC thing, the talk show thing is still not good. They should still not do that. Battlefield looks great. Titanfall 2 looks super good. It
looks amazing.
I don't think Recore looks good at all. I'm sorry, Liam. I don't mean it. I know it probably comes off as a dig at you or whatever, but like I think that game looks really mediocre from here.
It's clearly a budget game, and just looking at it, you can see where the money was saved.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, I'm not. No.
Still really not on board for. What's it called? The Platinum game. Scalebound. Still really like. About it. I don't know.
What about Kojima's music video?
I've rewatched that Death Stranding video a bunch. I don't even care what that game is. That trailer's amazing on its own.
Like, I'll just give him the money.
Like, that thing is worth it by itself.
But, like, I was more impressed with, like, the Scalebound trailer than Death Stranding, because Death Stranding is nothing. That's just a music video.
Yeah, I know, but it's really good music video.
It'll be fine. But like, I've always been against like, hey, your trailer is nothing.
Food for thought is all he really does. It is
food for thought. Like, I'm always gonna be whatever interested.
I don't know about Resident Evil 7 being in first person.
Mm-hmm. Well, I played it. So
yeah,
I played it too when I was sick. But like, I don't know. I don't know about it.
I
just don't.
Well, what I said on the last podcast is I feel like it's kind of a cop-out where they said they want to return to the series roots and stuff. And, like, I get that they might want to get away from the high-octane combat, but the series roots was never...
Horror.
It was never horror void of combat and puzzles.
It was survival horror.
Granted, they have come out and said that 7 will have combat and puzzles.
Right.
But well, then, the teaser...
I want to see my character.
Really, yeah.
I want to see my character.
Either way, I'm keen. I'm going to play it. I'm sure you're going to play it.
No, I'm not going to play it.
But are you not?
No,
okay.
It's a Resident Evil game. I hate those.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah.
Like, I'm going to play it. You're going to play it. But you know, you gotta sell me when the game.
I saw a really good argument that was being made, which was, hey, remember the last time Resident Evil changed its camera and everyone was freaking out? Yeah, then we got RE4.
Yeah, so
you earned one.
Also, no, exactly.
If you have to be sold on it,
yeah.
Mikami is not part of this.
If you have to be sold on it, like, if you don't mind me asking, like, if it's not faithful or at all like the roots based on that quote, but it's a good game, is that not?
Oh, that's plenty. Word? But
no,
it's
that's plenty. Totally. Because then I am sold on it.
I'm personally not the biggest fan of first person horror games. I like survival horror, and that distinction is lost on nearly everyone, it seems. But it's important to me.
Well, it's the story scurs.
Like, a big part of it is like,
does the game do you a big frighten? Then
no, it's about
No. A lot of people assume that way.
Yeah.
Well, for me, yeah. Like I don't play first person horror games because they do me a big frighten. all the time.
Yeah.
No. And like, seriously. Yeah. And I haven't played the demo yet because I'm still waiting for us to record our video. But from what I've seen, it seems like it's a lot of big frightens.
I don't want.
And in none of the other ones that I played. A lot of which I finished, they don't have big frightens.
Like, for me, like, I don't care if it's third person or survival horror, as long as it's like I like it or it's
Spookatorium.
It's I'm fine with it. Like, do I want combat and do I want some allusions to past Resident Evil lore? Do I just want to be a random fucking guy in a house or a town?
Yeah.
Not really. For Silent Hill, yeah, sure, it doesn't matter because there's no really good, consistent, overarching whatever in Silent Hill. It's been passed around so many times, but like, I would be disappointed if you saw Resident Evil and 7, and even if it's good or not, I would be a little let down if it, like, you're just Joe Bob and there someone says Umbrella once.
Yeah.
Well, like, that would be disappointing to me.
The Umbrella will factor in. I mean, it's in the demo.
It's in the demo somewhere. Yeah.
It's probably at least a trailer.
And also, like, I want to play it in VR because I'm excited for VR devices, and this is a game that will support it.
This is the biggest get for VR by far.
Yeah, this
even
and, like,
though it's technically
this and Ace
isn't.
Combat definitely are the two. And even though this game's not following the rules, and people who said they were playing the teaser on the show floor said like it made them ill, because guess what? It doesn't follow the rules.
Yeah.
Even though, I still want to play it. And I'm just concerned, like, will I shit my pants?
Yeah.
Because it's too scary.
Yeah.
I just, in a vacuum, I'm excited by the prospect of running from the Wyatt family.
Yeah totally. Yeah.
Running from Plague of Gripes.
I enjoy that.
But you know what? Like, if like
somewhere deep down inside, ancestrally,
I always
enjoy that.
Yeah. It's not a fear because the game's subtitle is Biohazard, but like, I don't want to be running from just the Wyatt family. I want to be running from weirdo
a
mutants,
bioweapon.
Yeah,
or mutants, yeah. Or bioweapons, or monsters.
Even in RE1, it wasn't just zombies.
Yeah, and even in RE4, which apparently was showed to be like. Just dudes. Like, they were weird mutants, and also there are a million monsters in that game.
So you want the science aspect to get introduced?
Well, I want monsterism. I like crazy people by themselves with no fantasticalness. Yeah. Is not enough for me.
All the Resident Evil games start off with you fighting regular enough looking people monsters.
But remember, there is
and
a
by
ghost
the halfway
girl
point,
in
there's
the
a
demo.
Bunch of bullshit everywhere.
So, I bet you 1,000,000% that ghost girl will not be a ghost.
Maybe not. But
it will be. It will be a monster that happens to walk around or turn invisible.
I don't mind
words.
A Resident Evil that has supernatural stuff, like the Hookman.
I was going to say, I'd rather her not be supernatural.
I much prefer the biological to the supernatural horror 100% of the time.
Yeah. Just because that's always been Resident Evil from the
beginning.
You know?
I'd like it to be consistent.
The series' real name is Biohazard, for fuck's sake.
True, it's true.
Yep. But yeah, no, I feel you on that, but still excited to
I want to have to count my bullets. If I have a situation where I get to count my bullets and I'm moving around stuff in an inventory, I'll be happy.
Yeah.
I really did, well, not going into it, but I did like the section where in the demo where you're looking into the past and you're holding a camera. That was, like, very, very interesting. And I remember some people say, oh, God, it's just Outlast. I'm like, no, not really. You're just – it's more like fucking Michigan, a report from hell. And that was the section where I was like, you know what? A Resident Evil where you're just a cameraman would actually be interesting. You're following Chris Redfield. That'd be cool.
Got to record that.
Got to record it.
Got to do it.
Yep.
So we have the first piece of news I'm gonna say is actually really like
Is it bad news?
Well, no. It's just like very candid. The CEO of GameStop basically had, because he had to, announced in at his shareholders meeting that the NX is going to have physical media. So just to sort of like quality rumors that it was going to be a digital only machine.
I don't know why thought it was going to be digital only.
It's still too early.
It's still too early, yeah. Like,
I don't know what the fuck they were thinking with the PSP Go. Right?
Experiments, right? Yeah, I guess. Whoa, like,
that was like,
but,
like 15 years too early.
Like if someone says, hey, like in the next 5 years at least, I think, someone says like, hey, are things going to have physical media? Well, congratulations on cutting out like a significant amount of sales.
Yeah. So, well, big games still sell more than
maybe,
way more than half of their
maybe
sales
the next
physically.
Batch of consoles that maybe is viable, but like, you know,
because well, I mean that's also the thing is that like retailers are gonna fight to keep it relevant, you know, and they should.
But I'm saying
physical
like,
media is good.
I'm saying like 10 years from now, maybe. Right.
Maybe.
Maybe. Do you remember how much storage was on the?
The Wii U
discs.
Yeah. Oh,
on the
discs?
They're
Blu-ray discs.
They're Blu-ray discs. So 50 gigs.
Okay. Well, not Infinite Space, but
well, you know, Infinite Space for in terms of game development. Okay. Really.
Yeah. So that was a little bit of a confirmation that we got there. We have some interviews with Kamiya that lead to him, like basically every statement that Kamiya makes is followed by shocking PR shock.
Yeah,
PR person going,
"Bah? Really?
Whoo!" So he gets interviewed to talk about Scalebound, of course, and you know, he talks about how he has ideas for other Scalebounds, and it's like, oh, that's
fun.
And
Okami.
And in addition to that, he hints at other things. Like he's like, yeah, someone, the person who's interviewing him says like, oh, I think she had better hair in one than in part two in Bayonetta. And he goes, oh, I'll keep that in mind.
You're banned.
I'll keep that in mind when we're working on 3.
Mm-hmm. And, what?
Yeah, PR and like, people go, oh, and he's like,
confirmation of Bayo 3.
Yeah, yeah. And, you know,
yeah,
and he's
I
like,
mean, like, it's the most meaningless thing.
He's like, I have ideas for 3 if we ever get to do that.
I'm glad he has ideas for 3.
And everyone's like, wait, what? And he's like, and he says, yeah, why should it end at 2? I also have ideas for Okami 2 as well. Yeah.
That's the bullshit.
And everyone goes,
no, that's bullshit because you, and that game's super long. How did you not use up all your ideas?
Yeah. So yeah, he basically is like straight up like willing and ready for some
to ban you. I want
to
play
to work on sequels, which was something that he didn't used to like doing.
I want
to
play as
hasn't he been notorious for saying like sequels are boring?
I don't think
he doesn't want to work on sequels that don't fundamentally improve and change the game in some way. Enough. He doesn't want to work on like. Number like yearly sequels.
Yeah,
he wants to totally overhaul and improve them.
And then they just kind of followed up on like, so last time we spoke, you were like joking about like, oh, maybe working with Capcom again on stuff. Like, Eddie, has that gone anywhere? And he's like, yeah, I'm still having drinks with my friends over there, and we still joke around and say like, oh, we got to work on something, and then that's kind of it. But
and they're like, haha, it has to make money though, and he's like, nah.
I don't like.
That's
I don't
not
like
my way.
That.
I don't like it when my games make money. I make them intentionally sell.
That
poorly.
Would be frustrating.
I have more people when my games make a little bit of money. I find more people with no brains bug me.
It's true.
Hate it.
It's very true. I want to play as like Flocker Man, who just bans people on social media.
Yeah,
with good. Extreme prejudice.
It's like Papers, Please, but it's
that
like
could be really
ban,
fun.
Please,
that could be really fun.
It's good.
Yeah, Kamiya wants to make stuff, and
fucking shocker.
Let him. We got a trailer finally after. Well, we got a bunch of trailers that like came out that were not on stage anywhere.
Yeah,
for games.
There's too many.
We got a first look at Wild Guns Reloaded.
Fucking, we didn't care really what it was when we.
As
didn't
long
know.
As you say the name Wild Guns,
yeah,
you got me.
So it's nice that it's like a remake with extra characters, extra stages, and redrawn.
So,
stuff,
so
still the same game.
I can't even say remake because it's like you ripped those sprites and put them in a thing.
Well, it's in 1080.
You know, yeah. You just. It is like the same
fucking dog riding a robot named. Bullet
and some thick girl on the side that's ready to kick ass, man. I'm super down. Yeah. 4 players, let's do it.
Yeah, really, really. Natsume's booth was just like Tokyo Rumble, that, and the new Harvest Moon, And that's all they got. And it's like, that's fine.
Yeah.
It's the new shitty fake Harvest Moon.
Yeah.
Because
well,
Story of Seasons is the real Harvest Moon.
Serious fun, regardless.
What are you even talking about?
It's not the same guys. They're just using the name with a different company. And Story of Seasons is the real Harvest Moon.
Oh my god, that's baffling.
Yeah.
Haven't like the real Harvest Moon hardcore moved on to Dewdrop Valley?
No.
He means the fans.
That's people who didn't play Harvest Moon who are looking around and see it and say, oh, this is better than Harvest Moon, but it's not.
That's a big call out on Stardew Valley.
No, it's good, but it's like Story of Seasons is better, man. Like
the throwdown for farming.
Story of Seasons is really fucking... Because it's actually by the Harvest Moon guys.
Okay. there was a trailer for...
Farming's dumb. I just want to put that up.
The other thing on Wild Guns too is that like it always shocked me that like no one's ever tried to make any kind of weird spiritual successor.
No, there is.
Is there?
What's the one on the Wii Virtual Console? The Vampire. The third person shooter. It's exactly like Wild Guns. Vampire Panic, Zombie Panic,
Zombie Panic in Wonderland.
It's the exact same game.
Damn,
I didn't even know. It's pretty decent too.
Okay,
but. In general, you're right. It's not a genre that's been pushed forward.
I'll never get to make my Trigun Wild Guns game.
Oh, that's it. That's the only genre Trigun should be.
I said it back when we did the first LP of it, and I'm like, that's in my head forever. Right. I got to take a look at the... There's a trailer for not flying disc. It's like it's a word that was very similar to Windjammers, but it's not Windjammers.
Yeah, no, but you mean the new Windjammers?
Superpower disc fighter ball.
Yeah, and it's the camera is third person.
I don't know.
So like it looks like Windjammers and it's doing Windjammers things. There's no real dashing going on the player's parts. The speed looks a little
off.
It's
made by former Naughty Dog developers.
Is it? Okay.
Yeah.
The speed looks a little off. I'm not going to pretend this is exactly what I wanted. But it still looks like it can be fun.
Yeah, I agree.
And if you've seen the trailer, it looks like they have all the same special moves from Windjammers as well.
So remember, people, we do not have a name for you. We don't recall what it's called, so yeah.
I'm sorry.
Type in game that looks like Windjammers.
I'm not putting this on you because I don't remember what it's called.
I'll get it for you in a second.
It's called Power Moves.
If you can.
I wish it was called Power Moves.
Liam, any love for Windjammers?
No, I don't have a particular affection for it.
I don't think, even after all this time, that I've ever even seen Windjammers.
God damn it. What the fuck is wrong with
I listen and follow Giant Bomb all the time, and they're the ones who like blew that shit up, and they talked about it on the podcast for like a year.
It's called,
never had the desire to look it up.
It's called Disc Jams.
Right. Disc Jammers.
Disc Jams.
Yeah. Dick Jammers?
Dick Jammers. Flesh Pounders.
PJs for your dick. Dick Jammers.
You know what, man? Windjammers is very much a... Let's like... I don't know.
Man, I don't care.
It's a sports game.
I know, but
what I was going to say is that it's like
Nidhogg or a Towerfall and those other games where it's like it's just a very simple basic concept that you grab three people and you jump on it and you're like, oh my god, this is way fun.
Is it some old SNK game?
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah.
Well, those are all terrible, so it's fine.
Well, you're not super wrong really. And you don't know anything, so.
Haha, anyway. I trolled you. Good job, idiot.
Yeah.
You win.
You lost.
I'm the winner.
I tricked you. I was the idiot the whole time.
Haha, I was only pretending to be stupid.
Yeah.
Now who's stupid now?
Now I've revealed how stupid we all are.
It's a performance art piece.
Kind of.
Miyamoto says we'll see a new kind of Mario in about a year or two.
Shocking.
But not a Paper Mario.
A, duh. B, fuck off. That's how I feel about that.
I tricked you.
Yeah.
That's
right.
Fair enough.
I guess that is what that is.
So
I remember when I came out of my coma, I saw some bits of that Zelda stream that I slept through, and... One of the bits was Onuma saying that, like, well, we don't put a lot on the bottom screen in Zelda because we find that looking up and down between the TV and the bottom screen is really distracting. It's like, geez, way to throw Miyamoto under the fucking bus. Star Fox just came out. Ouch. Yeah. I hate the Wii U gamepad so much.
I didn't know this. You know, it's usually said at least five times
per podcast. Maybe that means the NX won't have a Wii U gamepad. Maybe wouldn't that be nice?
That's what it means.
Yeah, I saw that. And I guess it's like, well, we'll see what the NX's gimmick is and how it plays into this Mario game.
Oh, God, what if it's dumber?
I don't think it can be dumber.
Although, like, at the same time, where do you expand your ideas from, like, Galaxy?
Fourth dimensional
It would
Mario.
Just have to rely on the gimmick, I suppose, right?
No, we could just maybe. Have...
I mean, we
always say just throw time travel in a thing and it's fine.
Because you didn't need the Wiimote for Galaxy, but...
No, yeah.
Yeah,
you know, they used it.
There's a lot you could still do, you know. They went for 3D Land and World. They just went back to making small areas.
Okay, here's what they
did.
And that fucking game
was... And people loved that.
That game is fucking incredible.
The long return to Mario. You zoom in, it's got a behind-the-shoulder camera, and it's really slow, and you're...
And Mario's a dad.
Yeah, he's got a roadie run.
You're teaching the child how to be Mario.
Yeah.
There's cover mechanics.
And then you see that Midgar Sormer, the giant fucking snake, is there.
Yeah.
And you're like, oh, it's Norse Mario.
What's the name of the snake in Mario Super Mario World 2?
The fucking snake fuck.
The red one.
The snaker fucker.
Ah, I know who you're talking about.
There's Fry Guy.
He has the funny face, yeah.
Ah, fuck it.
I can't remember.
I don't know. What's next in the news, Willie?
Speaking of Mario, I'm taking this.
Take it
away. Did you see the interview with the producer, I believe, of Paper Mario? And where, like, straight answer to why Paper Mario is what it is now.
Yeah.
And it's like, it's exactly what we thought it would be. And it's just, with Mario and Luigi going on, they don't want to have two Mario RPGs.
Okay, so cancel Mario and Luigi.
It's, with Mario and Luigi's quality flagging a little... Like
I feel like that game, that series has off and on, like every odd number game or whatever.
One was fantastic.
Three was
great.
Three is fantastic.
Four is all right, but the tutorial is like 6 hours long. Yeah. So, and Paper Jam is, I didn't even touch it. I hear it's not that. I hear it's sterile.
Does that even count? Because it's got paper in it, so it's got that stink
got
on
paper.
It.
Yeah.
They've already made their decision about what they want to be. What
I was looking at the gameplay for this game and like. All the same mistakes are on display.
All of them. Every single goddamn one.
You no longer use your stickers like up, so that's an improvement, I guess. But and it's frustrating too because you look at it and the graphics are incredible. This looks like what you always wished Paper Mario could look like, and it's. Just,
it reminds me of that Kyle Bossman video that he made a while back about Star Fox, about innovating for the sake of innovating. They had a perfectly good, amazing RPG system that worked, and everybody liked it. And they keep pushing this like sticker, like no stats, usable item thing.
Well,
it sucks.
The worst bit is like everybody has completely turned around on Super Paper Mario at this point because everybody's realized like no, Super Paper Mario was a spin-off for sure, but it still had the soul of a Paper Mario game with all the characters and. Post that, it's all gone.
It's all poopy just... butts.
So there's a couple other trailers that we got. There, one of them was The Surge, which was by the guys who made Lords of the Fallen. And it's described...
We saw a trailer for that at E3 during a press conference.
Not really. We saw like 8 seconds of footage.
Yeah.
It wasn't really established what it was.
It's the sci-fi Dark Souls.
Diesel Souls.
Diesel's. Damn, that is good.
Right.
That is gonna stick.
So, in watching the 11-minute IGN gameplay walkthrough, you get to see a lot more of what they're going for, and it's really interesting.
It looks a lot more solid than Lords of the Fallen did. I'll tell you what.
Well, for starters, like when you go like, oh, sci-fi souls are like futuristic tech souls. It's not at all. It's like no guns. And it's not
it's
like
melee.
Clean, shiny,
well, when
flashy.
When you think
it's
of that
junk bot,
my first thought is like the super far off future anime Japan future, not this grimy mech warrior fucking junk garbage.
No, this is all junkyard wars.
Yeah.
And it makes more sense because if you're finding gear, you just bolt it onto yourself.
Yeah. So every enemy you target a limb, and then. That's what you want to steal from the guy is cut that part off and put it on.
So it's like cyborg justice?
A little bit of cyborg justice going on in there. And most of it is melee based and like we saw, no real range based play from that demo. And it had a very large open junkyard world feel to it. So it
interesting.
Looks interesting.
Yes.
Looks interesting.
Very interesting.
You know?
Me too, yeah.
Take a look at that video if you haven't seen it.
What's it called again?
The Surge. Mm. Unfortunately, kind of forgettable.
Yeah.
But, yeah, you're gonna you'll remember once you see it. We got to take a look at the... Oh, there was some impressions that the Easy Allies guys did for about For Honor. Mm. And this was shit that like I didn't really see in any of the E3 coverage, but from their breakdown of it, like the single player mode, the single player content is not at all an afterthought. It's really, really well
good.
Thought out and planned.
Good,
and, like,
that's what I want to hear.
And
yeah.
is super compelling, like a seconds in.
Great.
You know? And their description of some of the things that go down and how they happen and whatnot from that first like introductory tutorial and the way things are set up.
Stick with it. Introductorily.
Introductorily.
Like, blaze your own trail.
Yeah.
It sounds good.
Pioneer my own path.
Yeah.
With these two hands.
Come on, don't second guess yourself.
And this mush mouth.
You're better than that.
My tongue isn't.
yeah, it is.
The single player content is like really... really fleshed out.
Good. I mean, I was gonna get it anyway, but like there was always the concern that the single player
was an afterthought.
Was just gonna be like, you know, single player multiplayer maps, you know.
Oh,
like
Titanfall.
Exactly. Yeah.
Yeah. Very much not that. So, check out their impressions of it in this video, and I think their excitement is pretty contagious. I like these Easy Ally guys.
They were the guys at Game Trailers before.
Yeah. It was fun.
I like those guys.
We found out last week that Allison Road was canceled, but we didn't know why.
Yeah.
And then the press
release.
And then
we still don't know why.
The press release came out to further elaborate, and they didn't really say anything, unfortunately.
It didn't work out.
All they said was, Team 17 and us, and we and Team 17 didn't see eye to eye, and we went our separate ways.
So
and that's the end of the project.
Continue development.
Well, I mean, not if they can, not if they need
Team
money.
Team 17 was paying for it.
But, like, that's the weird thing is that their Kickstarter had enough money to continue. Like, they had passed their goal at that point. And then
they stopped the Kickstarter.
No, they did.
Team
once,
17.
Yeah. But now, like, you can relaunch your campaign if you want. But now it's probably
If they're done, they're done. You know, they are people, you know, like.
Well. Okay, but
because they didn't actually get that cash in hand, right? Like,
sorry,
I'd like the game.
It's not that I don't want it, but like, they're people. You can't just point at the factory and say keep factorying on the video game.
It's not that. It's just like we get like a no real details on why this was, and it's just like we're left holding this bag of like, well, why did this happen?
Okay, I'm a little fuzzy on the details here. Allison Road had a Kickstarter, and did it succeed?
And
it was going to succeed. Team 17 stepped in and said, "We're going to fund this for you." And so they canceled the Kickstarter. And
so no money was taken by people.
In that case, it sucks, but they're under no obligation to ship.
Yeah.
No, that's true enough, I guess.
And so, yeah, they
however, if this Kickstarter had gone through, would they be under obligation to explain.
Yeah. No, definitely.
It would still be nice.
Some people speculated that,
of course, yeah.
Some people speculated that Konami could have threatened them in the background.
Like, I hope there's no basis for that whatsoever.
That feels very speculatory.
Like, very.
I hope that's the case, but it's not.
Yeah,
because then it's easy.
There's part of me that wants Konami to sue Sony for Death Stranding for some reason.
to find some way.
Yeah. Just to keep that feeling going.
Yeah, yeah.
Because like Jim's Konami news is getting a little dry lately.
They need new reasons for you to embrace hatred. Absolutely.
I could always use some more.
But no, it is a shame. And I mean, at the same time, you have to kind of think like the PT
curse.
Like, outrage and like the hype, you know, at the time. When a lot of time passes, like, is your game just kind of being PT elaborated on enough? They did say that they did say themselves that they plan to do more with it than just PT.
Yeah, you're leaving the house, you're going into like a forest. There's a whole thing on the Kickstarter for it. It was going to be a more judging from what they were saying, it's going to be a more elaborate game.
That being said, no shortage of games that are going to be like this RE7.
It's a bummer because it looked like the best one. So
I find it really fitting that RE7, despite my misgivings about the whatever, but that RE7 is just literally picking up the mantle. And continuing
it's, dude,
on
it's one
with
of
it.
The same guys.
Yeah.
One
yeah.
of the main designers of PT got hired by Capcom.
Like I like it.
Yeah.
Yeah. And lastly, we got...
and very least of the news...
I wouldn't say so, but we.
I don't know what the news is.
Yeah, there's a company called Rocket Punch, and they're making this game called Code Hardcore. And if you're a fan of Super Robot Wars, you'll immediately raise an eyebrow because it looks like a four-player action game version of Super Robot Wars.
Mm-hmm.
Down to the way the combos are like pulled off and the types of mechs you have available and stuff. Looks really cool.
What's the game called?
Code Hardcore. And.
If I type that in, will I just get hit by waves of pornography?
If you go to Twitter and go to Rocket Punch Game, it's the sticky on. You can see the trailer for the.
It is sticky.
Stickied on top. And it's fucking dope looking, man. I think it's cool. It's funny because I was talking to my other like mecha friend, and he was like, I can see the parts of the OG robots that they used and that they're like based on and stuff. He's like, I can actually like break apart these robots and tell you where they came from. But it looks like it's going to be fun. And I like that they're doing the Super Robot Wars style animation. Like, the limbs are a little slidey, but ultimately it's a...
No, I like that.
It's
that
a charming
style
at this point. Yeah, vector animation. I always thought that, like, Super Robot Wars going into an action game setting would suffer from the attacks being too cinematic to be...
Right.
Like,
usable.
Viable,
yeah, absolutely.
You know? But they're doing it. And they're going for it by, like, having, like, grapple hits. You know, and a lot of other sort of dynamic movement things on the field. So, yeah, we'll see where this game goes. Might be a cool thing.
Okay.
Aiming for Steam releases.
As you should.
Hey, if you're aiming for a Steam... No, fuck it. I don't know what that was supposed to be.
Hold on. Wait. Hey. What else is next?
No, continue.
Okay. I was going to try and lead into emails with the Steam release. Aim.
Yeah. No, I want to see your crawling... Like right now, like
if you're aiming for a Steam release and you need to get onto Steam,
Steam
and
releases.
you can't manage to get through, don't send us an email. But if you do have a question for the podcast or a statement or something you want to say, you can send an email to us at superbestfriendcast@gmail.com.
How do you feel about that, Willie? I'm going to give that like a...
I'm
going to give that about a Mighty Number 9 type thing, so about a 5.5 out of 10.
Yeah.
I'm going lower than that.
Should
man.
We talk about that?
Let's,
why not?
Let's wait a little.
Okay.
Why don't we wait a little bit?
I mean, we could always play it this week. And,
Well, if they ever send me my code, they never sent me the survey.
Oh, you didn't get a survey?
Never. People said that like no, they did. It's hidden in one of those emails. I went through them all. They never sent me a fucking survey.
Yeah, looks like it comes out on the 24th. I went back. I found my survey and did that.
I'm really unhappy that people didn't get it at the same time as reviewers.
Yep.
That's not really nice.
Reviewers said that like they've had the game for over 2 weeks now.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's no good. I don't
But even though I didn't get my survey, the default thing is a Steam code and a GOG code. So
right.
That's fine by me.
Well,
that's what I was going to get anyway.
Yeah, okay, well, I was going to say, if you go to your Kickstarter account and check your...
Nope.
Okay.
Did
weird.
That.
Okay.
I took the steps. Huh. I've given up.
Okay.
That
is weird.
The game has not reviewed well. That's the story as it is now. We will check back in once playtime.
It seems like
in.
Pretty middle of the road. The Metascore is 65 when I checked this morning.
Middle of the road with a couple of spikes and a couple of dips.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And Eurogamer's curious review. Did you see that?
I did.
Really positive, no score given.
Well, they don't give scores anymore.
Yeah, no, just like you look at it and you're like in a field of low numbers, you're like, huh, that's the...
Maybe Europeans.
The one good one didn't even have a number attached to it to fudge the number.
I bet if you go into their Google ad things, you can find the hidden actual review scores.
Really quickly, aside from that, it's like the thing that I feared the most is what I felt when I played the beta is like charmless, lifeless, joyless. And that's the main words I kept seeing in all the reviews today. So, like, I doubt. If the beta was like, did any indication, I'm not even going to probably play through it at this point.
I didn't throw it on the docket.
I'm already $136 in the hole on this, so.
I didn't throw it on the docket because I assumed we could wait till we all played it.
Okay. Yeah, let's kick it to next week or the week after, depending. But, meh.
Yeah.
All right, so if you want to send an email that Wooly might read off next week, or possibly the week after, depending on the backlog emails, It's superbestfriendcast@gmail.com. That's and you line. Might have your email read off similar to this person who is...
Paul.
Paul wrote a long email, I can tell from here.
Yeah, and it's an interesting one. Actually, okay. there's we got two long ones that I want to go through.
Let's do it.
So this one is some Chinese stuff about Overwatch and Legend of Titan.
Oh, yeah, I love this.
Ah. Hi. Should I even... And then he wrote the translation. I'm going to butcher this, but I'll try anyway. Chaoji Peng Yu Men. I'm an American who's
almost
lived in China.
Almost as good as John Cena.
Almost.
I'm an American who's lived in China for about 7 years now, and I do work related to the games industry. Hearing you talk about Legend of Titan, pronounced
Did you guys talk about that yes, last week?
We did.
Okay, yeah.
That's when the video got really
I have nothing to add other than laughter.
Got me thinking about... That's about right. Got me thinking about Chinese gamer reaction to it and how it's been overwhelmingly negative. I thought I'd share this with you.
Oh, okay.
For starters, Overwatch is outrageously popular here. It has broken all records for a non-free-to-play game.
Great.
There's
Fantastic.
No hard numbers yet, but the figures have been as high as 2.5 million copies here.
Yeah, because Blizzard sells in China, unlike many other game companies.
Which would be about a quarter of the 10 million Blizzard, Blizzard 10 million players Blizzard shared this week at E3. Not only is that high for just China, but it's crazy considering the basic PC version of the game costs 198. That's not a
yuan.
Excuse me. Which is about 30 bucks.
Yeah.
And... it goes up to 398 yuan, depending on the edition. That's a lot more scratched than here in North America or Europe.
Mm-hmm.
Generally speaking, games that are not free to play immediately fail in a mass market sense.
Yeah,
some stuff for consoles sell okay-ish given the number of consoles here, but nowhere near those numbers. Something like Legend of Titan is a real point of shame for both the Chinese gaming community and the Chinese development scene.
Huh.
The game started to make its rounds on the Chinese web in late May and was pretty much universally criticized and mocked. The comments and criticism didn't only touch on how Blizzard and NetEase, their distributor here in China, should sue, but it also talked about the inevitable international reaction once it got out. Comments like, "This is why no one respects China," and "Chinese game development loses face again," were common as people making fun of how blatant a ripoff it was. Copies and knockoffs are common here, but the average person tends to really be embarrassed by them for the most part, and there's no pride in it at all.
It's similar to how Japan, coming out of the war, did a lot of similar stuff, and society started to turn against them, and then they became a tech giant.
Or Korea's animation is ridiculous in its blatant ripoffs because there's a ban on Japanese
media. It's like,
media.
You guys will get there, but fuck, it's going to get embarrassing for that one 10-year, 15-year period.
They were doing all the tweening work, so they had the knowledge, but...
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so there's an interview on a Chinese gaming site where the supposed producer of the game, who refused to share his name, said it was a tech demo for an engine on a mobile FPS action platform that his company was making. Not sure if that's true or if it's only changed since it's even domestically gotten such a huge negative backlash. For a little more inside baseball, the name has been referred to as Shanzai Overwatch, which literally just means a mountain hideout for thieves.
Good.
And means knockoff in modern context and so on. Anyway, love you guys in the podcast and stuff. Just wanted to give you some context.
Yeah, I'm really glad to see, because, you know, China doesn't give a fuck about copyright laws.
Really
and in a situation like this,
Paul.
It's happened before with theme park that stole all of fucking Marvel and Disney's characters, and Disney sued them and lost. Because the Chinese government will always side on the side of the Chinese
protectionism.
Chinese company.
Yep.
And it's like, in a society like that, in a situation like that, it's like, yeah, people are going to copy things and get away with it. But I'm glad to see that, like, everybody in that development community is just like, oh,
no,
fuck off.
I appreciate the insight there, and it's a shame because, like, I can name a few modern Chinese games, but like, they just don't get out of the country.
I can name Monster Hunter Online and that's it.
They just don't get out of the country nearly as much as they should. And like PlayStation's doing a bit to help that, like they did with South America and Mexico a few years back. And now those games come out regularly on like PS4.
I would love to understand the feeling of Chinese jank.
As an outsider, like the feeling that like China doesn't give a shit, like to me, I feel like... that sentiment would apply to like the devs, the player, everyone, none of that, and no one care, you know. So getting
you get the feeling that good. Like I like it, that. It would Thank it, you. Like because you know there were you know you had countries like Czechoslovakia where nobody gave a fuck about trademarks and shit. Why? And CD Projekt was like broadcasting games over the air and shit. And it's nice to see that it's like it's not a situation like you said that the entire culture is like yeah fuck it
yeah
it's
yeah.
like no it's like oh come on guys really? This makes us all look really bad
versus the another Czech like your silly laws do not apply here in Czechoslovakia you know like.
I appreciate that snippet from that interview but I don't buy for a second
we were laughing at that we didn't mention it afterwards but the follow up where the guy's like no guys it was totally just a test
you made a really nice logo. Mm-hmm. And
we recreated all these assets.
You gave the game its own name.
You just happened to make a Tracer emote that was identical to Tracer's emote.
Well, yeah, I don't buy for a second that it was just an engine
test. Of course not.
That's far too elaborate.
No, and it's nice to know that China, people in China are dumping on it as much as
they can. Yeah, definitely.
Always nice to get confirmation.
It's nice to know that shame is universal.
Indeed. Next up is the not Devil May Cry game.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And Korea does this, too, every now and then. There was that Korean TF2 clone that was just, like, anime girls.
Oh, now that you've seen Gundam, you can appreciate. Go look up, Johnny Rocket
Ship? I've seen this.
Or whatever the fuck?
It's just Char.
Yeah!
It's just Char.
But it's Amuro under the helmet. It's fine. Korea does it our own style. You can't stop it. Gangnam style. Okay, now we've got the one that Liam, we talked about, the last one, which is Matt calling out everybody here, not you, but another Matt, calling out everybody for apparently being
very confusing.
Warhammer and Dawn of War frauds.
Okay, wait. So this person who wrote in, his name's Matt.
Yeah.
And he's calling us out for being Warhammer frauds.
They're super best blasphemers. I remember Pat and Matt talking about how great Dawn of War was in the Deus Ex LP and what huge fans they are, despite the fact that I still remember the massive shit they talked about Warhammer at the end of the Revengeance LP and other points on the channel.
I'm sending
you this test of faith to prove your exposed balls.
Okay. Let's hear it.
Okay.
And the Chaos Gods, pure sperm, I don't...
Okay, the Chaos Gods, it's Papa, it's Papa Nurgle, Tsinch, Korn, and that other guy.
Okay,
what's the thing?
Okay, so one. A cataclysmic...
Oh, is there like a whole paragraph of psycho shit?
I think there's some questions here.
What is the shit we talked about at war? I don't ever
recall. Probably talked about how it was like super like metal and trying too hard, and that's super true, but I love that.
But that's why it's
Unless
cool.
it was the joke that was like, oh, stupid Warhammer ripping off StarCraft.
Yeah, oh, that might have been it. Yeah.
A cataclysmic civil war sundered the Imperium of Man and plunged humanity into an unending dark age that has no end in sight. What's the name of that civil war?
It's the Horus Heresy.
Okay. The answer is the Horus Heresy.
Yeah.
That's
correct. Okay. You may know the red ones go faster, but green. Green is what? A, green is best. B, green is all. C, green is forever. D, green is end of all.
I don't know.
Okay.
Green is wah, man.
Answer is A, green is best because orcs are green and they never ever lose.
And they're
the best.
I was going
to say orcs are green. That's all I know.
Yeah.
Space wolves are one of the original Space Marine legions made by the Emperor to bring human planets back under the Earth's control. The wolves have a saying about their planet.
Don't know.
All right.
Just don't fucking know.
Is there multiple choice?
No, it was straight up like, it was a, there are no wolves on Fenris. Is this saying true or false?
I don't fucking know.
Yeah.
I'm going to say that's false because it's called Fenris.
Okay.
There should be wolves there.
I don't fucking know.
All right, I'm going to speed this up.
I don't really get
I didn't
the
read
point.
Any of the fucking books
All right.
or play
he
the
has
table
nine questions. Talk. Like, questions 10, do you care?
Do I care?
Do you actually
about
Warhammer and or Dawn of War?
I think it's fucking rad, universe. But I don't read the books
Me
or play
well.
The tabletop. I played Dawn of War 1 and Warhammer
and
I played
Space
Marine.
All right, there you go, man.
And every time I engage with it, it's fucking dope as hell, but no, I don't engage. Like,
how
I don't
come you
dive
don't know
in.
Everything about this thing you talked about
the only,
in no, passing?
Totally. The like, only clan in fucking Dawn of War games are the Blood Ravens, who are the canon new video game one, and you see that in the what do you call it? in the army selector you see that the blue ones are the Ultramarines.
Yeah, It's like, I don't know, like, like I played Warhammer Fantasy and a little bit of 40K, yeah, like when I was a very young teenager, like, yeah, from the ages of like, I don't know, 12 to 16. And I stopped playing it after that because the prices are ridiculous. And I played a bunch of the video games and I worked on some of them too. But
I appreciate it greatly from a distance.
And it's also like, you know, it's kind of unfair that like we're not allowed to like this, or like we're frauds.
I like it casually,
but not knowing a lot about it. Yeah, it's like, I don't know. It's kind of shitty.
That's like saying,
like, if we went through Tiamat's plot guide and quizzed Street Fighter frauds on not knowing stuff from that.
You think Justin Wong knows half the shit we do about the Tiamat plot guide?
No, he doesn't.
Probably not, because who cares?
I remember in the community when Gouken was announced and we were like, Ryu's father is in the game from Shoryuken.com, from the players at tournaments. Ryu's dad is in it.
Yeah. Like, what a dick would I be if I asked a group of guys that think that I know all the secret moves.
Yeah, yeah.
That which move was no one was ever able to wake up from. Which one did Hugo wake up from?
I guess you guys don't like Street Fighter.
Don't like it.
But Matt, what's Bazooka Neon Block? How safe is it?
Oh, I don't know.
You know? Like, so it's like it's totally unfair. You're right, Liam. It's stupid to
do
that.
Now, that being said, Warhammer fans are a little crazy.
A little crazy.
A little bit of that chaos blood.
I've talked to the man of Moss. He's crazy.
Well, anything with enough lore gets
crazy. My total exposure to Warhammer is Dawn of War 1 and Dawn of all the expansions for that, right? And Space Marine. And then every now and then they say something in Dawn of War and you're like, I don't know what that is. So then you go look it up on the Dawn of War wiki. Or sorry, the Warhammer wiki. You go, oh, the Emperor's in a fucking stasis chamber that's a throne. That's the coolest. And then you don't click another link.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the best way to enjoy Warhammer.
Space Hulk.
By occasionally touching it and being like, oh man, that's really cool.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, like I told you, it's the wiki for me.
Yeah.
Okay, so we got
these
one coming
emails
in.
Are long.
Yeah.
I went for two long ones.
You want for two big ones.
Yes. Okay.
He warned you. He pre-warned you.
I did.
He didn't want to smash cut them. He wanted to dribble out the long one.
That's okay. What I wanted to do. All right, we got one from Eric, and it's on the preferred thematic, the preferred thematically organized methods of necromancy.
Okay.
Dare celebrated opposition of our glorious Ustabaya's overlords. What is the ideal domain of the necromantic influence?
Okay.
The ability to resurrect dead rappers as your minions, or the ability to resurrect dead wrestlers as your minions.
Dead wrestlers.
Your new thrall maintains that the intelligence and general capabilities they had in life are the same, but they're loyal to you and you alone.
Dead wrestlers. There's no question.
Okay,
there's so many more.
No, I'm going rappers.
Well, we'll win
because here's why I disagree.
Okay.
I disagree because it doesn't say how popular the rapper had to be.
Yeah.
Every shitty ass thug that ever died in the hood
who said he was a rapper
with a gun is in my army.
But think about how many indie wrestlers you don't even know existed might have died.
That's true,
too. Yeah, but I could make so much more money on the rap.
But those dead
stupid... And then I could use that money to make something that would beat all the wrestlers.
Hold on. You can make enough money on maybe two of the rappers, and you make zero on everyone
Wooly.
Else.
Just like you would assume, and I imagine correctly, that there are more dead rappers that just said they were rapper and like they technically count. Rapping is, up until the recent past, a purely American or North American phenomenon.
Yes.
Wrestling has existed since fucking forever.
Okay,
forever.
If we're using the term wrestling,
because he doesn't say pro wrestler, does he?
Going back to the Greco-Roma.
He says wrestler.
He says
dead wrestlers.
Oh, boy.
You want to go? You want to include
the
Greco-Roma?
That's a lot of naked Italian guys, brother.
They're not fighting. Right?
Well, they will when I get a hold of them.
He said, what's your preferable army? And it's like, there's no fight gonna happen.
No, not when you own all these dead wrestlers.
But that's what I mean. I'm gonna monetize the rappers.
Yeah. Mm.
I won't have to worry about nothing.
I mean, either
but
one.
But if you flood the market with too much of one thing, you'll make
Tupac's
zero money.
No, but I just get the ones
albums.
That matter.
Okay, okay.
Yeah, I see it as like the entire dead cast of The Wire.
Yeah.
You all probably tried rapping at some
probably,
point.
Probably. Yeah,
you're getting. Okay. You're okay.
Yeah, okay. You're okay, get in.
Yeah, get alive.
But, but anyone that can take a bump then, by that logic, is technically a wrestler.
Any zombie can take a bump.
Yeah.
Yeah, no.
Yeah, so but think of how many bumps a wrestler zombie idea, can take.
I'm thinking that the dead rappers, right, are really just shitty thugs, but like they were willing to like do the crimes and die and have the guns and be the fucking whatever. So I'm like, I could use a bunch
of... We have The Undertaker when he's dead.
Okay, here's...
He's not dead yet, though.
Well, he's dead right now, technically.
He's the dead man.
The dead man, Inc.
He's on our side.
All right, here's the breakdown. Dead wrestlers are often successful. Dead rappers all failed. Because you have to get rich and stay alive to be a successful rapper.
Hold on a minute, though. Who gets Macho Man?
Oh, he did have a rap album.
Who gets Macho Man?
I guess nobody gets him.
You both get Macho Man. The wrestler necromancers get like early 90s era flamboyant Macho Man Randy Savage.
And then rappers get Bonesaw.
The rappers get the era in which he started. All in black, like weird, super short beard Macho Man.
Even though his beard was white, he dyed it black Macho Man.
Both are useless to you because they're too obsessed with revenge on Hogan.
Yeah. Luckily, Hogan does not come back under either of these.
Thanks, Eric.
He is still alive.
Yes.
Technically.
Destroying websites.
Here's a little quickie one from
Austin. What are you going to do?
Quickie one from Austin, and he wants to know... he's like, with the recent outpouring of 8-bit indie games that have been released, do you know of any modern games that share a graphical styling with early PlayStation or N64 style?
I know one. There's one on Steam that was released not too long called Back in 1995, which is straight up supposed to be a, hey, remember how bad early PlayStation
sharp-edged.
Survived? Holy shit, they look 3D. Fucking bad.
I'm not talking about Resident Evil. I'm talking about like shit like Overblood.
Yeah.
Crap like that.
I think Back in 1995 is the best example.
It's not very good.
Sure. Well, unfortunately,
I played through it. It's got its heart, its right place, but it's not fun to play.
I'd say like 97. You got to go forward just a little bit from there. 95.
No,
was
the
still...
game is called.
Hey, Wooly. This is a bit of an aside. But do you remember you talking about Cyberpunk and being excited for Cyberpunk?
Yes.
And I suggested that you wait like multiple years.
That's correct.
To play it. You want to just scroll down my phone and see what the fucking patch log for the recent Witcher expansion is and how long it takes you to scroll?
What does that have to do with anything?
Yeah, Cyberpunk's going to happen when I'm fucking... Yeah. They're busy. They're busy,
took
guys.
Multiple finger flicks to
honestly,
get to the bottom of that.
There's not a lot else in regards to like indie games made with that...
it's a very unpopular aesthetic.
Edgy, blocky 3D.
I think right now you can see there's a demand for it, and I see a bunch of people asking for that kind of thing just because we've had so much of this 2D pixel stuff. And
it's just that most of the games of that era are not good.
And when it varies, but...
And then you get the Minecraft stuff where it's like you go into a... You skip past our 3D... Well, into like pixel 3D that didn't exist.
The issue is just like if you can make that kind of game, you can pretty much immediately make a much better looking 3D game. If you're doing a 2D game with sprite art, it's because you want to do that. But if you're doing a 3D title, it's probably easier by today's standards to make a good looking modern 3D game than a convincing PS1 or N64 title.
The effort hasn't changed for sprites.
We played Power Drill Massacre on the Shitstorm last year, and it was very much supposed to be like, yeah, look at this bad-looking 3D Alone in the Dark style, and now the guy's remaking the game and doing another version of it. Now it's like much better 3D. Like it's more in line with what you kind of expect. Still not great, but like he's like, yeah, that was stupid. Why would I do that? Why not make it look as best as it can be?
Yeah, it's an era that we haven't really seen emulated.
I don't think it's that the effort hasn't changed with sprites, because that's valid, but it's just that you could spend the same amount of time working on a 3D project and have it look way better.
Yeah.
You
have to intentionally shit it up to get to that aesthetic.
Unless your game is really masterful at capturing the feel of those games so that people will enjoy it and empathize with that, you're better off just making a better-looking game with your time.
Like, if you really want to capture that aesthetic, you need to make it so the textures can't have a fucking Z-axis, and they warp around like shit when things move.
There are a bunch of PSP games and DS games. I mean, they're not they're not intentionally bad.
They just happen to fit it. That aesthetic.
But like that's probably the closest you're gonna get.
Yeah.
I'd say so.
Okay.
Alternately, there's PS1 games you've never played, I'm sure. So.
There's a million of those fucking things.
Yeah, we can take last quick one.
All right, what's the last email?
It's supposed to be very quick.
Barely squeaked in.
Yeah. Jesse wants to know if any of us have dealt with a major move outside of their county or state, which doesn't exist up here.
Province, country, whatever.
Yeah.
Wooly has. I have.
I have to Grenada, but that was it.
Yeah. And go ahead.
Good to know you.
I just moved from the countryside to the city. That's it.
That was a big move, though.
You take the highway. It's a 2-hour drive.
No, I mean,
Well, it was a big deal because I was, 16. I wasn't living with my parents anymore, so.
Yeah, he wants to know, how you dealt with it and on what budget. And I got a big trunk, and I put all my toys in it.
That's it.
And
no underwear.
I put my favorite, pajamas in it.
That kind of got you
Grenada.
Through.
Your giant figure with the neck brace.
So what you're saying is it's a slightly different experience as an adult that you probably have no experience with.
I mean, the only other variable is just that when we went there because, we were told we were going on 2-week vacation. And then when 2 weeks were up, we didn't come back. And that's how that went. So that's how we dealt with it.
Did you ever tell that story on anything?
I don't know, maybe.
Because that's the most fucked up thing. That to date remains the most fucked up thing you've ever told me, ever.
Yeah, well,
it's hey, we're going on vacation. Okay, bye.
Grenada happened. And then when Grenada was done.
That was the Grenada arc, I believe. Part one.
We got Shanghai'd to Grenada. It was quite a.
Fucking, oh my God.
It was a good time.
I have nothing to
It wasn't
to know.
A good time.
I literally moved.
What's coming up?
From 20. Hey, what's coming up is everything that we have currently going on is continuing on the channel. But
basically,
we have a new LP coming up, and not that much of a big secret.
Is it good?
It's a trial for sure.
It's a one off that turned into a full LP.
Yeah. Oh, it's one of those things, huh?
Yeah.
It's going to come out on Vessel tonight for us. So for the old
yesterday night.
You've already seen that. If you're
so in 2 days, for the rest of you folks.
To cut the tension, it's
fire alarm's going off. Fire alarm's going off. You can't say what the name of it is.
The alarm shut it down.
Podcast is over now.
Podcast done.
Bye.
Bye.
Actually, if we could say one more important thing.
We're going to too many games.
We'll be at too many games
this weekend in
Philadelphia. We're coming for you.
Oaks, Philadelphia from Friday to Sunday. Oh, fuck this.
All right.
See you there.
Bye.
Better.